across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, blimey, here we go. Which is the front of the mic? Where's the front of the mic? No, is that louder? There we go. That's a bit louder. Good evening, everybody. How are you? It's Jamie East here, in for Ian Lee. Give us a call. The phones are open. 03444991000. We'll call you straight back. Text the word talk, then your message to 87222. Text costs 25 pence plus your standard network rate. Or you can just tweet us at Talk Radio. Kath's here.
Hello.
Hello. He did all right then? He didn't do all right, did he?
He
cocked it up, didn't he?
A little bit, yeah. But then Ant and Dec read out the codes that they were trying to put in, and they had it wrong from the start, I think.
Oh, did they?
Zeros in rather than noughts. So. Never mind it.
Bloody hell. We're on Periscope as well, periscope.tv/Jamie East. I'm looking through all the tweets. It's just David Icke was in the building. Did you not get the sense? Could you feel the power? The power of voodoo, hoodoo, you do?
Yeah.
He is a bit like... He is like the Aldi version of David Bowie in Labyrinth.
I don't know. We've interviewed him before, and actually, I don't know whether we just got him on a different day, but we didn't have that trouble with him.
He just looked like a man baby in a shell suit. Very strange fella. we can talk about. There's quite a few things to talk about. We're going to talk about the jungle. We'll talk about that actually in a minute. Oh, is that Caddick on the line? No, we're getting Caddick back. He can be our live. He can be our live TV reviewer. He's here. Hold on a sec. Caddick.
Hi, Jamie.
How are you, mate?
Not bad.
Yeah, what are you up to?
Just happy to be the first caller, ready to do some more movies.
Do you fancy doing some more movies, do you?
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. All right, we'll get one of them lined up for you. Which one do you fancy? Hey, we had a good one lined up, didn't we? What was the script that Max had a cracker lined up, didn't he, last week? We'll dig it out for you.
50 Shades of Grey last week.
You did what? What did we do last week?
50 Shades of Grey in the hardware store.
We did 50 Shades of Grey, didn't we? Yes, you're right.
I missed that.
No.
There was a bunch
that we pulled out. I'll pull one out. We'll get one on for you. But what I'd like you to do first, if you don't mind, Caddick.
Okay.
Is turn on Channel 4. I need someone to review First Dates for me.
Let me just get into the kitchen.
You going in there now, are you?
Yeah, I'm just switching it on. It takes a few minutes because it's starting up.
All right.
What's happening with Christmas, Kath?
Beg pardon?
What's happening with the film on Christmas?
What's happened with the what? What?
The film.
Are you going to be on Christmas night?
Oh, I don't know. The show on Christmas, I haven't decided yet. No, probably not.
Well, are you going to be in the restaurant?
Are you going to be on shift, is that what he's asking?
I think so, yeah.
Blimey. You don't be on shift.
Wait, 3 weeks till Christmas?
I know, well, I've got little children, so I kind of got to be around for them at Christmas.
Or we could have a highlight show.
Well, I don't know. You might get a surprise like everyone else and you'll love it.
What would you like to hear?
A highlight.
Oh, okay, fine. What's that? Just the best bits of the year?
Well, best bits of the year.
Okay, fine. Lovely.
It will probably happen.
Let's be honest. We're inherently lazy in radio, Caddick, so if any opportunity to put a montage up, especially one that's about 2 hours long, is absolutely...
Yeah. With the orgasm scene from When Harry Met Sally.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I don't know. We could just put that on a loop.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
Oh,
let's put the wireless on, something
festive. I'd be spitting dust by Boxing Day, Caddick. Right, so have you got Channel 4 on?
Yeah, Mimi's just at the bar, waiting for a date.
Okay.
She's wearing a very nice red dress with polka dots.
Oh, who's that? The
25
lady.
25 from London.
25 from London. Okay, what's it? Is she nervous? Does she look confident?
She seems pretty confident.
Okay.
Oh, her potential suitors are arriving. He's carrying a package.
Who's carrying a package? The fella.
Yeah.
Oh, exciting! What is it?
His name's Joel. He's 29 from London.
Oh, bit of an older man.
The maitre d's welcoming him.
Fred's a lovely fella.
I've seen Fred once on the telly.
Yeah.
He seems to be an expert in the language of love.
He's a really nice guy, Fred. He's a very nice guy. And he's an expert in the language of love. You're absolutely right. Caddick, bear with us one sec. Hold on. Jonathan, how you doing, mate? Are you there? Jonathan. I can hear you breathing.
Are you breathing?
Are you going to make me? Is this like a scary film? Jonathan from Swansea. I can hear you breathing. Have you got us on mute?
Is it actual Jonathan or is it some...
It's actual Jonathan.
Is he being weird?
Are you outside my house? Jonathan, are you there? You've got 5 seconds and I'm going back to Caddick.
Hello?
Hello, there he is. How are you doing?
Hello?
Hello!
Sorry.
That's all right.
I couldn't hear anything.
I couldn't hear you either. We said I could just hear you breathing.
No, it was in the other room.
Oh, okay, fine. Catherine, is there another plug there for the headphones anywhere?
No.
Are we going to be able to reach one for Periscope? I've put the... Bear with us a sec, Jonathan.
Let me move
the phone. It's just... I've just plugged it in over here. And now I remember why I didn't plug it in there. There we go. Jonathan, are you there? Sorry.
Hello?
Hello. Are you all right?
Yeah, you said something.
No, I was just talking to Catherine about plugging the... We were just trying to plug the phone in. It's all right. We're all right. We're with you now. We're back on board. How are you, mate?
I'm reasonably okay, although I must admit I'm a little bit worried about what's happening in America at the moment.
In what sense? What, the travel ban?
No, I'm just the FBI and the Department of Justice causing mischief.
Right, in what sense? Sorry, what? So the FBI causing mischief, or are they just doing the right thing? Or are you just being contrary, Jonathan?
I'm not contrary for the sake of being contrary. Let's just say that. I'm worried that what they're doing is not only spurious, but it's also taking America closer to a civil war.
Right. But
yeah, because I can't imagine most of the American people are going to sit idly by and allow the Department of Justice and Congress to get rid of Trump without a fight. So I think there's going to be fireworks in the next few weeks or so.
But I think we need the fireworks, don't we? Is that not what the people want?
Well, it depends on who's firing the fireworks.
Well, I mean, there's not going to be... It's not going to go quietly, but surely the FBI and the Department of Justice are coming from a place of good, are they not?
No.
You don't think that?
No, and this... my suspicion of the FBI dates back to Hoover himself.
Right.
The FBI have always been a bit dodgy to me, and the last 25 years or so, starting with what happened in... Waco. I'm very suspicious of the FBI.
Okay, that's fair enough, I suppose. But in terms of the better of two evils, who would you rather have, the FBI or Donald Trump?
Well, there is only one evil, and that's the FBI and the deep state.
Oh, so you're a Trump fan, are you?
Oh yeah, I was delighted to hear that he's popping over to Britain on my birthday.
That's not going to happen, though, is it?
Well, if the deep state gets its way, unfortunately, you may be right. So I'm a bit worried.
But would you? I mean, if you were Donald Trump, Jonathan, would you want to come to the UK, knowing that I'd say a massive portion of the country don't want you there?
If I were Donald Trump, I would know that most of the people do want me to come over, but they're being drowned out by the vocal minority. And why would he want to visit a place where the powers that be are oppressing their own people?
I'm not sure. I don't think we're being oppressed, are we? Do you feel oppressed?
Oh yeah, we're being oppressed with cultural Marxism and hate speech laws. And the general hatred of the majority British population from the elites.
But I don't feel oppressed by hate speech. I feel it liberates me to speak against it. That's not oppression, is it?
Well, you're part of the propaganda circle.
I'm part of the liberal elite, am I?
Yeah, step outside the clearly defined parameters and you'll be demonised like the rest of us.
Which parameters do I need to step outside of in order to experience that?
Are you saying anything critical about certain troublesome groups?
But if they're troublesome, then they should be spoken out against.
Well, if you speak out against certain troublesome groups in this country, you get called all sorts. And that's if you're lucky. If you're unlucky, you get the full weight of the law down on you. And I don't want to live in a nation state that is cosplaying as Nazi Germany.
Well, no, neither do I. But that's why I'm arguing against people like Trump.
Now, Trump, I'm under no illusions about what the kind of person Donald Trump is. He's a loudmouth jock who does something without thinking.
Yes,
but he means he
I can
means
relate to
ultimate,
that.
Ultimately, he means well, and I think we are in a very bad situation as a planet where the one redeeming hope we have is someone like Donald Trump. Under normal circumstances, Donald Trump would be a complete farce, a complete joke.
Yes.
But things have deteriorated so badly that Trump's looking pretty good at the moment.
To who, though? Maybe I'm in an echo chamber here, but I don't see anyone, certainly not from Britain, saying that he's looking good.
Well, there are a lot of people on the internet, a lot of people...
We just had David Icke for an hour. He's on the internet. I mean, what good has he done?
He's tried to stop.
No, the trying's not good enough.
It's better to try than the previous people and the people in our own country who seem to be actively facilitating our demise.
No, but I'm not saying. No, hang on a second. I'm not saying that people in Britain, the British government, are doing well. They're both as bad as each other for many different reasons. But Trump hasn't done anything remotely helpful for anyone.
Yes, he has. He's spoken truth to power. He's seized power from the deep state.
Who?
And the deep state are desperately worried about him. And they, Trump is a figurehead for people like me and others who see that the world has gone completely bananas and needs the people in power to be removed because they aren't just out to get us.
But he might be shouting loudly.
Which way they can.
Yeah, but he might be shouting loudly, Jonathan, but no one's listening. He's not actually done anything.
He's got that travel ban upheld.
No, he's got an extremely watered-down version of it upheld.
After a year.
It's a start to what? You want that travel ban?
He's also done the remarkable thing of neutering the Saudis.
Well, how?
Trump has basically told them, you have to give up your sponsorship of terrorism.
And have they?
Or we'll wipe you out.
And have they?
And the Saudis have caved in. Yes.
When did they? I've not seen any. When did they cave in?
Earlier this year. Why do you think Trump visited Saudi Arabia first? Because the Saudis wanted to do a deal with Trump, and Trump said, right, if you carry on this terrorism, we're going to shut you down. We're going to
Yes, I remember him saying that. I don't remember anything.
And the Saudis have realised that that they've got to obey Trump because he'll destroy them. And I think if you know some of the stuff I hear about the Saudis and what I've seen in Saudi Arabia for myself...
Yeah, but that's just your own little echo chamber, isn't it?
Well, no.
You can't. Why are the liberals the only one in an echo chamber? Why can't you be in an echo chamber?
Because I'm not in an echo chamber.
Well, neither am I.
Millions and millions of people in this country and in other countries, including America, who are fed up of censorship, who are fed up of racial discrimination. And it's usually racial discrimination carried out by people who shout the loudest that they are suffering racial discrimination.
Yet you're cheering that his travel ban was upheld. How does that? How can you be against racial unrest and then be for the travel ban?
First of all, Islam. I keep repeating it, and I'm going to nail this into the ground. Islam is a religion. It's not a race.
Hold on a second. Sorry, bear with me a sec, Jonathan. We've got someone else on the line that wants to talk to you about it. Oh, hold on.
Oh, hello?
Kadic?
Yeah?
Jonathan wants to talk to you about Islam.
No interested.
Oh, okay, fine. I'll talk to you in a sec, Alan. Hold on.
But Alan Kadic?
Yeah, he wanted to talk to you about Islam, but then he changed his mind. He's watching First Dates.
I saw a picture of Alan Kadic today, and I must say,
we don't talk about people.
I thought.
We don't talk about people, do we? Nicely, we need to be nice. Jonathan, I met John Cena tonight.
Oh God!
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's a certain type of person who likes John Cena, and.
The best kind of people.
John Cena has been tainted by association.
Well, hang on a second. I don't understand the history. Why am I wrong for liking John Cena now?
When Cena was on top, he got shoved down people's throats and his act was watered down and he appealed to the lowest common denominator.
He was populist, yeah, he was popular. Everybody liked him. He was the people's princess.
He was just a bland corporate creation.
the Wrestling Federation is completely corporate, though. Why is John Cena the one that is? Why is he the enemy? He's not. The Undertaker isn't real.
He just came across as incredibly childish, incredibly safe and milquetoast, whereas before he had been quite edgy and interesting.
What's milquetoast? I love the sound of that, but what is it?
Bland, inoffensive.
Toast?
Yeah.
Fine. Okay, so he spoke very highly of you. He was a lovely guy.
Don't give me that. John Cena does not know who I am.
No, Jonathan, Becky's gone.
Oh, what a shame.
Ian's in the jungle, Ian's staying. Becky is gone, thank God for that. She had a face you wouldn't write home about. She was a miserable woman, wasn't she? Have you been watching The Jungle,
yeah.
Jonathan?
No, but I'm predicting that he will win, and he better win, because if he doesn't, he'll make me look bad.
Who, Ian?
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's going to win. I think he's doing very, very well, but I think Toff has got it completely sewn up.
Well, that's what they said about Hillary last year, so there's hope for Ian.
Was she an
wow.
I'm a Celebrity?
That was a good that was a good circular segue there, wasn't it? Have you had a bet on Ian?
No, because every time I put money on something, it doesn't go my way.
Nah, story of my life too. Did you bet on Hillary?
No, I didn't. I put any money down, but I knew from the people on the ground who were covering the election in America that Trump was going to win.
Question for you though: now we got Trump. Anyone can be president? Do you think The Rock will be? Rock's going for 2020 now, isn't he?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I liked Dwayne Johnson. I also liked The Rock as the wrestler and the actor.
Good actor.
I tell you now, if he goes against Trump, I'm burning all the Rock memorabilia I have.
Wow! Let's just pause for thought for a second. Describe to me your Rock memorabilia. What do you have?
DVDs, an action figure I got about 15 years ago.
Wow!
Any movies that I've got of him, I'm burning them if he goes against Trump.
Wow. Okay. I mean, he's no Vin Diesel, but he's pretty good.
I think that's an insult to The Rock to compare him to Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel's a lovely fella. Anyway, sorry, you can.
The only thing Vin Diesel will be remembered for is being Groot.
I mean, but to be fair, though, he is bloody fantastic as Groot.
Yeah, he is, but then it's not the most demanding job in the world.
No, but that's I'm not having that. There is, considering he only utters three words in the whole both films so far, I am Groot.
Yeah, well, you've got to give credit to the writers as well for
But his delivery is fantastic. He delivers it in a fantastic way. Jonathan, I've got Kadic on hold. Can I put you on hold, or do you want to call back in a bit and let me know more thoughts? If you like.
You call me back.
We'll call you back. Perfect. Give us, have a listen, see what you think. We're talking about the driving test. Can you drive?
I don't drive, no.
Okay, perfect.
I'm blind.
You're blind?
Yeah.
Oh, are you? I did not. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I am.
Those rock DVDs must be pretty crap.
Well, I'm only blind in one eye.
Oh, okay.
Fine. And to the truth. Anyway.
Oh, Zinger. I saw your comment today on YouTube.
Which one?
Very droll.
Which one?
That's you good. Know which one. I from Ian Lee's Rabbit Hole TV.
No, that's not me.
You would say that.
That's what the... Yeah.
It's called The Truth. Again, something just, you wouldn't
just
be familiar with.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you, Jonathan. We'll talk to you in one second, mate. Hold on. Caddick, are you all right?
I've got breaking news from the jungle.
Oh,
no, you haven't.
Go on, no, go on. Let's let him have it. Let him have it. Go on.
Ian Lee's still in the jungle.
Fantastic.
Becky Vardy's allowed to be eliminated.
Oh,
who's been eliminated?
Becky Vardy.
Oh, blimey.
It was between her and Vanessa.
Well, Vanessa should have gone because she didn't know the songs, did she? Hold on, unless I was going to put on a... Oh, I've not blooming got it either. We needed a bit of music for that. Oh, I have. Can we turn this up? So, Caddick, just run the news. Run that news by us one more time. Three.
Ian Lee has just spent another day in the jungle because Becky Vardy wants to be eliminated.
Yes. How was Becky's mood? Has she got a face like a spanked ass?
She was pleased to go because she's talking to Andy Deck at the moment.
Oh, is she?
Really
is she,
pleased.
She's pretending to be happy, is she?
Yeah.
That's it.
We're just looking back at the Bush controls.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, I've got it on the telly now. How was Ian, though? Because he wanted to go, apparently.
I think he was relieved that he was still in there.
Was he? Do you think he's getting the taste for it now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Man, they all get the taste for it until that tasted a kangaroo's penis.
Would you eat a kangaroo's testicle?
Mate, I've had far worse in my mouth. I'm 43. I've lived a life.
Would you, Alan?
I'll probably go for the sheep's brains.
Pardon? You go for the sheep's brains?
Yeah.
I think, who was it who ate the sheep's brains? Was it Toff?
If memory serves my knowledge of Simon's Lab for the years, I think it was Tinchy.
Tinchy Strider. Bloody hell, you're going back, son. Good lad. Sheep's brains, they're supposed to be quite the texture. It's not for me.
Blended
sheep's brains, bloomin' heck. No, not for me. What was happening in first dates? What was her name in the polka dot dress?
Hang on. Let's get back to Channel 4, because I just put it on RGB.
Oh, sorry, mate.
We're on a different couple. Two women chatting each other at the dinner table.
2017.
Very modern.
As I live and breathe.
A 64-year-old woman and a British producer.
Goodness me, that's niche.
And the thing about it, they're both lesbians.
Well, I gathered that. They're on a date, you prat. Don't be sod.
They could be bisexual.
They could be bisexuals, you're right.
No, you're right, they could be, yeah. They could be.
Talking about hemorrhoids.
Oh, are they?
Well,
they...
They do.
...of a certain age, you know, once you hit your 40s, darling.
Back over another date.
Yes.
Two people I don't know asking about nightmare dates.
Are they having a nightmare date, are they?
No, they're talking about nightmare dates.
Oh, blimey. Hold on a sec. If you're listening, it's Jamie Easton for Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Give us a call. We're open doors. Tell us about what you're watching on the telly. We're talking about the jungle. We're going to talk about driving tests shortly and also kids' first jobs. Give us a call, 0344 499 1000. We'll give you a call straight back. Caddick's on the line. Caddick's our live TV correspondent. We're going to go to a break and find out if the two 63-year-old lesbians have copped off with each other after this.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hey, it's Jamie East in for Ian Lee. We are celebrating. Ian is in for one more night. That means I'm on tomorrow night as well. Yes! Christmas, come on, the kids can eat. Come on, Tiny Tim, get your turkey. You stay in there as long as you like, Ian. I'm here until 1 o'clock. Give us a call, 0344 499 1000, and we'll give you a call straight back, or you can just text the word talk. Then your message to 87222, or just tweet at Talk Radio. We're also on Periscope. We're bloody everywhere. Periscope.tv/Jamie East. Caddick, we were talking about first dates. Caddick is our live TV correspondent tonight, watching first dates. Have the lesbians got off with each other yet?
We haven't still you're talking at the dinner table, talking about how London has changed with everyone building everything. But of course, they're useless elections as far as I can see.
Right, so say it again. London building everything? Is that what you were saying?
We're talking about all the builds that are happening in London. And one of the lesbians said, they're the most useless elections as far as I can see. And now we're on a commercial break.
Oh, we're on a break, are we? Oh, OK. Gotcha.
Anyway, I want to talk about X Factor by the weekend. I felt great to the one X Factor.
Oh, did you? Oh, God. Do you know what? I've got to hold my hands up and say I think I watched the final last night for a bit. Before that, though, I'd seen very little.
I was the same, Jamie.
I felt like watching X Factor, and I've got a lot of friends that work on X Factor, and not being derogatory towards the programme or any potential employers, Psycho, hi Simon. But it felt as though I felt a bit sorry for it as a programme. I treated it like a sentient being. I felt a bit sorry for X Factor this year.
Why? Because it's looking tired.
I didn't think the acts were very good. And I thought. And I agreed with what they were trying to do with getting him to play original songs and their own material, but it doesn't work for me. The kids want to see someone howling out Adele.
Yeah, they do.
He's gone. Are you there?
Fitting it all within 6 weeks as well, Jamie.
Well, the live shows were yes, you were right. It was condensed as well, and it was all a bit. I don't know. No one looked like they're having much fun.
Well, my philosophy is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There's a good argument with that, because you've got Bake Off and you've got Strictly, and they have done nothing to change whatsoever. And The Apprentice, you're right. God, you're good, mate. No, you're absolutely right. I think they're... The difference there, well, the main difference there, Carrick, is that all of those programmes that we mentioned all originated on the BBC... And
Apprentice is still on Bavin, so it's Strictly.
Yeah.
What do you keep pressing, Cads?
Hello, you there?
Are you pressing silent?
No, I'm still here.
You keep pushing a button. You keep cutting out. No, what I'm saying is that a lot of the problems is with commercial television is that they try and change things too quickly because they have shareholders and they have advertisers and they have sponsors, and there's a lot more people to please, whereas with the BBC they can afford just to kind of take a breather, and if they have a bad year it's no problem. Do you know what I mean?
Whereas, yeah, I agree, definitely.
And Strictly was doing 17 million, was it? I can't remember.
Something like that.
Something nuts. But you know, guess what the biggest show, biggest TV show of the whole of 2017 is?
Lewis Hamilton winning the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Are you having a laugh? No, of course it's not.
That's the biggest programme for Channel 4.
Well, yeah, but. Okay. It's Blue Planet, too.
Oh, Blue Planet.
Yeah, biggest, it's beat all of them. Bake Off, Strictly, Come Dine With Me, everything.
Well, everyone loves a bit of David Attenborough.
I'm so scared, isn't it? Do you know when he's getting on a bit? I'm just...
And it's 2017.
And it's getting near Christmas. I mean, this is a bit morbid, but we usually do have a celeb croaking it at Christmas, don't we?
I mean, last year was George Michael.
Well, and everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Is First Dates on yet?
No, we're still on advert with a very young Jimmy Carr.
A very young Jimmy Carr?
Promoting Jaguar.
Oh,
is he? He'll promote anything, he will.
We're back on First Dates now.
Oh, OK, right. I'll leave you with it for 5 minutes. I'm going to speak to Kyle from Rochdale.
OK.
All right, bye. Kyle, mate, how are you?
I'm not bad, Jamie. How are you?
Very good, thank you very much. It was 10 million on Strictly Come Dancing, not 17. I was giving them a bit of a boost.
10 million is still a lot these
days,
isn't it?
Hey, bloody hell. It's no more Come and Watch Christmas special, but you wouldn't kick it out of bed, would you?
No.
Sorry, Kyle. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just... it's a bit of a boy thing that I've done tonight. I set my projector up and watched Rochdale knock Slough out of the FA Cup on the big screen.
Wow, you're living the dream. Did you have some bag of nuts and a can of warm beer?
I had a packet of Quavers, I won't lie to you.
Wow. So Rochdale beat Slough?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, that must have been it. Was that like a Clash of the Titans?
Well, I think they're about three divisions lower. But weirdly, my mate from up here went down. So she was actually on the telly because she was right behind the goal. We texted her and she texted us straight back. Going, yeah, that was me.
How many people were there?
Oh, I don't know, about 400, I think, maybe. Oh. Not many.
So what round are they in? So who are they up against next?
Doncaster.
Blimey. I presume, is that a bit of a... That's a big match, right?
I think it'd be quite smart. I think Cass will be amazed, because I don't think she's ever heard me talk about football before.
No, I haven't. What's going on with you?
I've just grown up. I've just become a real boy, Catherine. Finally.
Wow. I'm a real boy!
What were you doing? Oh, good Shrek reference.
Actually, it was Pinocchio.
Yeah, Pinocchio in Shrek.
In Shrek, yeah.
What was the... What did you used to get up to?
Say again, sorry?
What was it, if Kath, you know, why should Kath be surprised? What were you...
He's not really a football man normally, are you?
No, it's just now just radio geekery, really.
So were you supporting your locality, were you?
I was, yeah. Well, it's only, it doesn't matter who listens to this, but I only live about three streets away from the football ground.
Oh, okay. So, stand on your roof and get a free ticket.
Yeah.
I'm a fair weather fan, people call me, but... There you go.
We might talk about football in a minute. Well, kind of, in a roundabout way. Did you see the video clip of the lad at the Sunderland match?
No, is this the one who's like pooed himself or pooed somewhere?
Didn't he on his seat?
He basically treated the seat like a lavvy. I mean, he's only 17. Poor bugger. He had had 12 bottles of beer. And something like 7 shots as well, or something like that. And all the only food he'd had to eat were 2 chocolates out of his advent calendar. And he was obviously absolutely bladdered. And he was sat there and just decided that he needed a dump. And just pulled down his trousers and his pants and sat on the football seat as if it was a lavvy and did his business. He's denying that he's done it. There's a video clip of basically a very wide circle forming very, very quickly around it.
And him with his trousers around his ankles.
And his trousers around his ankles. He's denying that he did it, but then does go on to say, but I cannot remember anything about that, about anything.
Gosh.
Didn't Gary Lineker do that, though, at the World Cup?
But he did that because, yeah, you saw him, like, pulling his arse across the pitch like a dog with worms, didn't you?
Yeah. But I'm laughing so much.
He didn't take his trousers and pants down, though, did he?
No, he didn't. He just went for it.
I mean, this lad just needed a newspaper to make it the full toilet experience.
I mean, talk about a Christmas log. But it was... But sports people do it quite a lot. I remember there was a quite stomach-churning picture of Paula Radcliffe doing the marathon once.
But apparently it happens a lot. I don't run, so I wouldn't know. Well, but marathon runners apparently don't stop to go to the toilet.
Now I finally have my reason not to.
it might be tight. What was actually ringing about, Jamie and Cass, was opinion has been split with my friends about something that I did on Saturday.
Oh,
go on then.
With some people, hopefully this is clean. It won't get done.
Right, hold on a second. We need to build this up. Seeing as you're from Rochdale, hold on a second. Let's just get to set the mood. Set the mood right. Hold on. Let me turn my thingy up. Hold on. Here we go. The way. At least a standstill for you. Right, come on.
So some people are calling me a dirty bar steward. Now, I thought, Jamie, you might get this. It's not being sexist. Catherine, you might join the friends camp.
Hey,
don't overestimate me.
Don't. Hang on a sec. I'm already, you already got me as a borderline sexist here, but carry on.
No, it's me. So basically, I was clearing out my cupboard. And I found, first of all, a tin of corned beef hash, Prince's corned beef hash, and people are already saying that in itself is dirty.
It is a bit of a filthy meal, but I'll go with you.
That doesn't mean it's wrong.
Well, go on, sorry, Jamie.
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
I love a Frey Bentos. I love those pies that come in tins.
Nah, you've lost
it. I mean, soggy pastry, it's all part of the charm, so carry on.
So this was it. I want to hear this, the cat's reaction. So I thought, right, I'm going to have that tin of corned beef hash. It's been here for ages.
Oh,
when I say ages, it was actually January 2015.
Corn. And I thought, was it a tin? So it's a tin, though, right?
Yeah, it was 10 to 12. It's not going to go off, is it?
Nah.
I'd be tempted to have a little taste of that.
This was, you were talking about this on my Periscope earlier, weren't you, when I was doing my Virgin show, because we were talking about sell-by dates, which we might talk about in a bit, but carry on. So, yeah, because I was saying that, like, you know, unless it's actually got mould on it, it goes down the hatch.
Yeah, you can normally smell it and tell, can't you?
Yeah. So what? So this tin was, what, two years old?
2 years old,
I'm with you. Mate, I'm with you. You're all right with that. In a tin?
It was all right. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, when I took it out of the tin, it did look like dog food. But that's just how they always look,
exactly.
Even if it's fresh.
Meat in a tin is never going to look great, is it?
It's corned beef. It's not meant to look nice, you know.
But it was great. It was fine. I think it was a bit... But some people have called me dirty. People say I should have binned it. I was like, no, I'd be right. But then some people as well, the other thing is the other week, and I might have sent you a picture, Jamie, I'll put it on the Total Radio, has had a chicken korma pot noodle, and people were having a go at me for that.
Yeah, you see...
Who are you hanging about with?
Everyone loves a filthy meal every now and then. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm normally on my brown rice and quinoa, but every now and then... I will eat a full kind of mixing bowl full of Butterscotch Angel Delight.
Oh, yeah. Or those, like, dirty sausages that come in the spaghetti in a tin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now we're talking. Now we're right. We'll carry on with this food pornography very shortly. Kyle, stay on the line. We're going to get back to you in a sec after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It certainly is. Hi, I'm in for Ian, who's in for another night in the jungle. Well done, Ian Lee. Well done. Keep voting for him. Can't remember the number. Probably not allowed to tell it anyway. It's 0344 499 1000. Give us a call. We'll call you straight back. Carl's on the line.
Evening, Jamie.
Evening. What were we talking about? Corned beef in a tin. I tell you what, the reason this conversation started was earlier on in the day, when I was on the Virgin show, we were talking about there's a co-op have started doing a thing to combat food waste. Whereby, they're flogging all of their out-of-date or past sell-by dates up to kind of 3 days or something like that for a flat rate of 10p.
Yeah.
So anything, joint of beef, anything, 10p. Because they can't get rid of it. Because they're just chucking it away and it gets incinerated.
Sell-by is different from use-by, isn't it? Use-by, you really shouldn't eat it anymore. Sell-by just means it's best at that time.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, when your mince hasn't gone green.
Yeah.
It's just a rule to follow in life, really. Never eat the green mince. And we were talking about it because food banks and charities won't accept anything past the sell-by date, which is, and they were just doing away. And then you came in and said that you were eating a corned beef tin 2 years old, which we were kind of like, we're fine with that. You were getting chastised for it as well. What was your first job, Kyle?
Oh, first job.
Kids' job. Did you have a Saturday job?
I did. When I was 15, I worked at W.H. Smith's, and I was there for 10 long years.
And doing what? So 15 for 10... Hang on a sec. You were at W.H. Smith's for 10 years?
Yeah, I had other jobs. So I ended up full-time, then I went to part-time when I got a proper job in a real place. That sounded awful, but...
No, not really.
So, yeah.
Wow, that was a good stint though at W.H. Smith.
It was all right. I was on the newspaper section, and we always wondered how the shop kept going because
W.H. Smith became quite an aggressive place to shop. You couldn't, you know, you went in there for, like you say, a newspaper or some Parker pen refills, and you just got kind of harangued into buying massive bars of dairy milk at the till.
Well, they always give you them vouchers now, don't they, as well? Whenever I'm at Euston, they always give you a... Do you want these for a quid? I just want the magazine I've come in for.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, Toys R Us has gone, or looks like it's pretty much gone on. How the hell is WH Smith clinging on? You know, we've seen Woolies go, we've seen Blockbuster go. WH Smith, it feels antiquated, doesn't it, going in there? It just feels...
It does, and it used to be like a proper bookshop, you know. Now it's been given real competition by your Waterstones and places like that that sell books in massive bulk, you know. But
you know what? It's always
more a stationery shop now, isn't it?
Yeah, but then you've got your Office World and your Staples and stuff for all that. And it's like, you know, the problem is you go in there, everything's You know, and your mum would never buy you proper Coke and lemonade, and you always had to get pop from the pop man, and it was crap. It's like going that into WH Smith's. They couldn't sell Kindles. They couldn't sell whatever it was that the foil sold.
Yeah.
And they always had the crappy kind of Kindle thing for like a tenner that you knew would break.
They've not. I think the problem there, and I'm not an apprentice candidate, which is probably why I've got more of a sense of
what. Well, Ian's in the jungle. Let's wait and see what happens next year.
Is they've diversified too much. You know, it was mostly books with some stationery back in the day, wasn't it? Now it's books, stationery, sweets, diaries, you know, bits and bobs. It's too bitty. I don't ever... Cards.
Stick to what you know.
I don't ever go in there thinking, oh, I want something. That's going to be my first port of call. It's always the last one. I think, well, I'll have a look in there and see.
If W.H. Smith was a restaurant, Gordon Ramsay would sigh through their menu, wouldn't he?
He would. You know, like when Mary Queen of Shops does her thing and she says, what are you?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem, isn't
it? Exactly. Although, has she got her own shop?
I don't know whether
always
she
always wary of experts that don't actually...
She's a consultant, though, isn't she? That's all she does.
I was a consultant for 6 months. I was making up as I went along, too. Kyle, I'm going to... Bear with us a tick, mate. I'm going to speak to Philip. Philip's been on the line for ages. Hi, Philip. How are you, mate?
Yeah, fine. Thank you.
Nice to speak to you. How's your evening going?
Yeah, not too bad. As I say, that I'm going to be talking about a guy who made me laugh, and he wouldn't have been known in England.
OK, well, this is exciting. You've teased this well.
Pardon, sorry?
You've teased this well.
I wonder if you've heard of him. If I tell you his name, have you ever heard of Jim Nabors?
Jim Nabors? Not Jim from Nabors?
No. Jim, N-A-B-O-R-S.
No, I haven't.
If you've been to America, he was an icon.
Hold on a second, let me Google him.
And he died just a couple of days ago. He was 87. Have you ever seen the film The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
I don't think I have, actually.
Bette Davis and Burt Reynolds.
Oh, I'm aware of it. I mean, I'm aware of it. I'm looking at him on
Bobby Palmer and Burt Reynolds.
He was also in Cannonball Run 2, which is also one of the best films ever made.
Yes, he played tended to play the simple character.
Oh, I know the fellow.
With the teeth.
I'm looking at his picture now. Yes, I recognise him now.
Yes.
He was great.
He was. I mean, he started out in the Andy Griffith Show in about 1960.
Okay.
And the character that he played was a character called Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle, what a great name.
Yes, it was. And he was so popular that they gave him his own show called Gomer Pyle USMC. In other words, he joined the Marines.
And that was the plot of the show, was it?
That was the plot of the show. All the episodes are on YouTube if you want to see. Just, I think he was a very, very, very funny man. And the thing was, also, he had a fantastic opera-style voice.
He doesn't look like it, but he hadn't. Oh, okay.
And there are clips on YouTube also of him singing.
Okay. So
and it was just the thing was, I found it sad when you open the paper and somebody who's made you... I mean, you would have had to have gone to America to have heard of him, because I don't think Gomer Pyle or the Andy Griffith Show was ever shown in this country.
No, there were lots of those. They never really struck a chord, did they, that type of show, the old Isle of Lucy kind of model?
Well, Lucy was shown it, but the thing was, up in the north of England, if you lived in Granada... Granada did show a lot of the shows.
Okay.
They used to show it about how there was a one. Have you ever heard of My Mother, the Car?
No. This
it was the story of a man.
It just sounded like some out of Fast Show.
Oh, what it was, a man bought a car, and when he turned the radio on, the voice of his mother, who had passed away, was heard on the radio.
Wow.
And the star was Dick Van Dyke's brother, Jerry.
Jerry Van Dyke. Wow.
I think there's clips of it on YouTube as well, and it had one of the best TV themes for it.
Okay. Oh, well, search for it. What was it called?
My Mother, the Car.
My Mother,
the Car.
Oh, hold on a sec. The Cow. Oh, no, hold on a sec. The Car. Sorry for listening, Mum.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. My Mother, the Car. Here we go. Yeah, let's see if we can find a clip of this.
It is a very good theme. It sort of explains the premise of how, you know, what it's all about.
All right, here we go. Let's have a look. Oh, no, what's it still playing? I can say it's still playing Lisa Stansfield. Bear with me one tick. Cool, we're on a right deep cut there. Just covering Barry White. It's carried on playing. We've gone right down in the album there. Right, hold on a second. This is, this is hopefully going to be the opening credits of My Mother, the Car.
This is it, yep.
Everybody knows in the second life we all come back sooner or later. As anything from a pussycat to a man-eating alligator. Well, you all may think my story is more fiction than it's fact. But believe it or not, my mother did decided she'd come back as a car.
Wow!
She's my very own guiding star. A 1928 Ford. That's my mother, dear. She helps me through everything I do, and I'm so glad she's here.
Wowza, so goodness me, that you were right, that was very literal.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many of these great, we did get quite a few of them from America, but there were some that slipped through the net, were never seen. Have you ever heard of Car 54, Where Are You?
No.
That was shown in very big success, starred Fred Gwynne and Joey Ross as two policemen in New York. It was written by the man who wrote the superb Bilko series.
Oh, right, yes, I remember Bilko.
The scripts were of a really, really high quality. That's got a good theme. If you can find that, that's a good one to
play. I'll dig that out, surely. I might do that after the news.
And, of course, then there was Gilligan's Island, which ran for years and years and years and years. These people went out for a cruise one day on a little boat, and they were away for about 5 years because they were marooned on a desert island.
And you sound like you're quite a fan of all the old school shows.
I think a lot of them, you know, it was so good that today, you know, with my age, that's all the memories of these.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking, Philip?
75.
Oh, good for you, mate.
Yeah, and sort of, you know, it's a free TV licence, which is a added bonus.
Yeah, I bet.
But, as I say, so...
And are there no kind of modern shows that float your boat? Or?
It's funny that I try and... Well, I tell you, my favourite comedy series comes from Scotland.
Oh, OK.
Have you ever seen Still Game?
No.
You've never seen... Still Game is everybody in Scotland shouting at the radio because it's so great. It's altogether, it's been for about 9 or 10 years on the BBC. It started off on BBC Scotland, but they do show it now on BBC One.
Right, okay.
Two old age pensioners living in a high-rise block of flats in Glasgow, and it's what they get up to. It's written by Ford Kernan and Greg Hemphill, and they star and write it. It's brilliant. It really is. You sit there and just roar with laughter at it.
Oh, lovely.
If you've never seen it, I know for a fact that a new series is in production. And it's going to be shown, I don't know whether it'll be shown before the end of the year or in the new year. And the last series was shown on BBC One, and it got millions of viewers. It was so popular.
Oh, well, I like that you take great joy in all these programmes.
I do. I mean, the thing, I think laughing and having a good laugh is, you know, is one of the greatest things you can have. You know, you just sit, some of the programmes, you sit there and watch the television and you think to yourself... No. I can't think of one from America at the moment. They've all changed.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I mean, the series, I mean, I know there's lots of good comedies out there, but they just don't, you know, not like they did in the past. But, that, you know, that's me, Ian. What's your favourite comedy series?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Alan Partridge.
Because it was a different kind of comedy in the sense, you know, that we'd never seen anything like that in a radio station.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's been around... I mean, he's a bit of an albatross for Steve Coogan, but he's been around for years. But he's my absolute comedy hero, Alan Partridge. I mean, I do mid-morning on Virgin, so it's slightly too comfortable, too close for comfort. But I've been a big fan of Partridge since he started doing the Day Today.
You talk about radio. Have you ever seen the film... Comfort and Joy.
No, you keep coming out with all these zingers.
This is a film from years ago. Bill Forsyth, who did Local Hero.
Right.
It's about a disc jockey in Scotland. And I'm trying to... surname won't come to me. But what he's a disc jockey on this Scottish radio station. And he becomes involved in the ice cream wars in Glasgow.
Okay. Is that Duncan Bannatyne, or am I stepping dangerously on thin ice there?
Bill Forsyth made the... Bill Patterson.
Right.
Bill Patterson plays the disc jockey.
Okay.
And it is... I mean, it was done several years ago. I presume you get it on DVD, and I don't know if it's on. But if you like radio-orientated comedy, that he comes in every day of the week and you see him in the studio.
Yeah.
It really is. So then you had the series from America. Did you ever see WKRP in Cincinnati?
Well, I mean, you're just reeling off. You could be making all these up for all I know, Philip.
This was about a crazy radio station in Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. I'll Google all of that stuff.
Anyway, so sort of give me something to watch over Christmas,
Philip. I love anyway. Talking to you. You sound like Len Goodman after a cup of cocoa.
Anyway, all the best to both of you.
Oh, you do. Thank you very much,
Bye.
Philip. I'm on tomorrow. And, I'm on tomorrow and Wednesday. I'm going to Google some of them, and we'll maybe have a chat tomorrow or Wednesday about
okay.
them.
Okay, we'll do.
Do you think of another theme tune for us to play? We'll play it out tomorrow.
Okay, right.
You take care, Philip.
Okay, bye.
And just as Philip goes, Kyle does a runner as well. Kyle was going to talk about. I was trying to write down names of shows. Then aren't
they? There'll be more.
He's quite niche, isn't he? Loves his stuff. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and we'll come back and give us a call. I'm here. The metaphorical doors are open. 0344 499 1000. We'll give you a call straight back. It's Jamie East on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hey, how you doing? It's Jamie's Talk Radio with you until 1. In for Ian Lee, who's staying in the jungle. Well done, Mr. Lee. Give us a call, 0344 499 1000, and we will call you straight back. We're having a slight issue with some of the phone lines at the moment, so if you do call in and you get put on hold, you might not be able to hear the show. We're trying to work out what those particular gremlins are. Jerry, how are you, my friend?
All right, I love gremlins.
Do you? Oh, great. Do you know what? You just reminded me, bloody hell. You just reminded me, who's the guy that... What was the guy's name? Was it Zach in Gremlins?
The bad guy.
No, not the bad guy. The good guy. The guy that got given the Mogwai, the teenager. What was his name?
I don't know. I can't remember.
No, the actor wanted to come on the show. I need to get in touch with him.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he wants to come on and talk, so we'll do that. Thanks for reminding me, Jerry. How are you, mate?
All right, best tune, closing tune ever. Best theme tune ever.
The Gremlins theme tune, was it great? It was John Williams.
Was it?
Yeah, of course it was. Always John Williams with Spielberg.
That's good. Then was it the Toys R Us musical, classical scores, modern films? What's his name?
He does lots, doesn't he? What did you want to call in about? It wasn't Gremlins, was it?
Such a fantastic knowledge of comedy that guy had. It's like Barry Norman.
He had a good one, didn't he?
Barry Norman, my favourite is Rising Damp. The timing is brilliant between them. Rising Damp, remember that?
What, with Leonard Rossiter? Yeah.
Yeah. He was an Everton supporter.
Was he? Well, there you go. I'll tell you what, you lot are full of the facts tonight, aren't you?
So you remember Captain Caveman?
Captain Caveman!
You know what that's based on?
A caveman?
No, Charlie's Angels.
Was it?
Yeah. Top Cat is based on Sergeant Bilko.
Yeah, it's the devil.
Based on... It's amazing, the fact...
It is amazing, isn't it? All based on different things, aren't they?
The love boat. Remember the love boat.
What have you been up to this evening?
No. Had a gamble today.
You had a gamble?
Yeah.
Gamble responsibly. What did you win?
I put £2 on.
Did you? On what?
On the dogs.
On the dogs?
Yeah.
It wasn't called Tripod, was it? Never bet on a dog called Tripod.
No, I won £647.
You won You won how much?
£647.
From
a £2 bet?
For a £2 bet.
That's outrageous.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Jerry, so it's a TriCaster bet, was it?
Yeah.
And that is where you bet on the first, second and third, is it? In any order?
Incoming. I bet it's straight and it come in.
My goodness me.
10-1 outside of one. Second outside to come second. Third outside to come third.
Oh my Incredible. Goodness me.
Going to buy a new laptop tomorrow.
Oh, good for you, mate. That's a nice story. But if anyone's listening that does like a flutter, the odds can go down.
You can't go over the top. You have to have someone there pulling me in, otherwise I go mad. Just walked out of the shop, they wanted some water. Not having money back.
£647, good for you, mate. I bet that was a nice feeling.
Yeah, very nice feeling. It was a birthday not long ago.
Oh, I like it when good things happen to good people, Jerry.
You're a good man, too, like
you. No, you're a good man. I'm going to have a quick chat to Kyle. I'll speak to you in a sec. Are you okay?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. Come on, I'm gone. I'll go. Should I stay or should I go now? Shall we hang up, or shall we stay?
You can stay if you like.
I'll stay.
You stay, buddy. Let me just go and see how Carl's getting on, okay. And I'll come back to you in a tick.
Okay. I'm waiting.
Hi. Oh, I'm here now.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. I was going to say, how cool is that for Jerry just before Christmas?
£647. Well, he did say he was just going to buy himself a laptop. No one else was included in his spoils. But fair play. If you can't be selfish, off a gamble win. Did I tell this story? I won a lot of money on reality. In fact, The Jungle.
Did you?
Matt Willis. Before I knew Matt and before I knew Emma, when Matt went to The Jungle, I just put a bet on him. I think I put £30 on him when his odds were like massive, and he won. I won a bloody fortune.
Wow! What was it about him? You just thought he had the thing.
Well, as we were discussing earlier on, it's a certain set of people that vote on reality TV shows, and I just thought that maybe it would be those sets of people that would vote for Matt Willis.
You're right. In the Venn diagram, he's right in the middle, isn't he?
He's there. He appeals to both of those sets of people. And then I don't know if this was legal or not, really. I won a lot of money for betting that Cheryl Cole was going to be an X Factor judge. Because I knew that she was going to be an X Factor judge. Is that
yeah,
illegal?
It's kind of insider dealing, isn't it?
Well, sue me. It was a long time ago. Don't sue me. I can't remember what we're talking about now, Carl.
Jerry's win. Jobs, Sunderland, Jerry's win.
Oh, yes, we're talking first job. So you were saying, you were at WH Smith for blooming years, weren't you?
Yeah, 10 years by the end of it, yeah.
How did you... I mean, look, I struggle... with commitment work-wise. I've never lasted a job longer than 2 years.
Really?
Apart from when it was my own company and I was saddled with the bloody thing. How do you manage to stay in a job for 10 years?
I applied... This shows you how low my ambitions were. I applied for work experience. You know, you do that 2 weeks when you're at school to see whether you'd like a job or something.
Yeah.
And I applied to my mate work there, who I was good pals with, and I thought, I'll do that for 2 weeks. And then they sort of said, do you want to do it every Saturday morning? And I found my first sort of letter telling me what my rate of pay was. It was £1.67 an hour.
£1.67 an hour, blimmin' heck.
Yeah, 1989.
It's like LBC, that is. Goodness me. That was what, 1989?
Yeah, yeah.
But do you not think that the Saturday job, because there's a story out at the moment that kids are not getting, kids aren't doing proper jobs anymore because they're not doing Saturday jobs. Because they don't really exist. Because I didn't realise, and it was only when reading this story, it's on BBC News, that employers were supposed to get permits to give jobs to under 16-year-olds. Now, I'll tell you something. Yeah. When I was under 16 doing a job, there was naff all chance that those places had permits.
You had to do... because if you did so many hours, you had to go to the council to get a permit to work.
Did you?
And you could only work... Yeah, you could only work so many hours. And I remember as well the other thing, and it's really snobby now, but when... And obviously Rochdale's not a great place, but Smiths and Boots were always the two you went to work at, and everywhere else kind of looked down at the people who worked at
Woolies. The poshos, yeah. Superdrug around the corner, spitting on the door of Boots.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Did some modelling, didn't you, when you were a kid?
No, we don't need to talk about it. Yes, yes, I did actually. I put up a picture, Carl, on Twitter the other day because I found it in my mum's place of me doing some modelling for this horrific kind of catalogue. But I also did swimwear modelling.
Oh gosh,
for the Nottingham Evening Post once.
Did you?
It is effing awful.
The Nottingham Evening Post, not big for swimwear. I've heard of Sports
well, exactly.
Illustrated.
It was not Sports Illustrated that by any stretch of the imagination.
Is it on the internet somewhere?
Is it? I nearly did a swear. Is it? Heck. If any of my family are listening now, you will, I swear to
Jamie's
God.
Jamie's mum.
You will, no. Oh my God, no. No, 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 no. right. Everyone on Periscope is going to Google. It's not on Periscope. Doing. You've got no chance. If anyone finds it, I will never come on radio again.
Jamie East modelling, you get that, young man.
Didn't your mum ring up the other week about your Wombles costume as well? So she might.
Yeah, but she's had a few. what were we talking about? I was just talking about this permit thing with the with the Saturday jobs. The places I work, I was a chef in a kitchen when I was 14 in a bar.
A chef/cook.
Aged about 14 in a late members bar.
Wow, that's Dickensian.
It was, and we were open till like 1 or 2 in the morning. I was cooking curry. I mean, there was no, I'll tell you what, there's no permit there. But it's purely, everything was cash in hand back then. Mm. You can't do that nowadays, can you? You don't see any kids bottling up in pubs, do you, Kyle?
Well, I was going to say, I remember somebody coming around the pub where I used to work at selling, they used to always come around on a Friday selling, like, fish, trays of, like...
Yeah, the fish, you
know, man. Crab sticks, and, yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it?
Well, the people that used to go in the pubs with the trays on. Yeah, absolutely.
I remember, I didn't have to do that, thank goodness, but no, I definitely remember that when I worked behind the bar. People coming every Friday night, that was fish night, weirdly.
Of course it was, Friday.
Friday's fish night. It's like, never buy a Friday car. That's what my dad always used to say as well. Did you ever hear that phrase? Never buy a Friday car.
I've heard that. The idea is that they've knocked it off quick because they want to go home.
Yeah. You always whenever you get a car that's always, you know, you get one of those cars every now and then, so it has nothing but bother. My dad always says, oh, you've got a bloody Friday car, as if it's still 1953. And there's still blokes actually kind of like with spanners, kind of like, hurry up with that wheel!
We're going down the pub.
Yeah. What else were we going to talk about? There was another thing. It's gone from...
Oh, that fella got caught short.
Yeah. I mean, the only question you can really ask is, Kyle, have you ever done a poo in a public place that you shouldn't have done? Then where do you go with that question? Do you reckon he did it?
What, Stanley? Or the bloke in Sunderland?
Who's Stanley?
Do you know, I thought you said Stanley in the Jungle had done this just then.
No.
I'm pretty sure he probably has done one. They've been in there for about 3 weeks.
That dunny. I would not like to change that barrel.
Well, Carol Thatcher had a wee, didn't she? And
pardon?
Carol Thatcher had a wee, didn't she? I seem to recall. One in the early episodes of I'm a Celebrity.
Gosh.
Maybe.
Was
I don't know, mate.
Was it?
I've not catalogued it. No, this lad from Sunderland did 12 bottles of beer, 7 shots, and all he'd had to eat all day was 2 chocolates from his advent calendar. He went to watch Sunderland play at home. He was so bladdered that he imagined he was on the toilet at home and just pulled his trousers and pants down, sat on the chair as if it was a lavvy, and did his business. You've never seen a crowd part so quickly. There's this great clip on Twitter, go and look at it, where there's just like a big whole circle opening up around him of these disgusted fans, with this guy just gazing off into the middle distance.
Concentrating, you know, on the working hand.
Well, exactly. The only thing missing was he wasn't playing Farmville on his phone.
Well, people used to, in the old days, I think Catherine mentioned, people in the old days used to take a paper in. But do people really, like, sit there on the phone tweeting that now while they're...
Yeah. It's called an iPoo.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, oh, come on.
Everyone does.
It beats reading the terms and conditions off the back of the Dismestos bottle.
You know
it?
You're constipated if you read all the bottles, don't you?
Exactly. Come on. Don't try and be posh now, Kai, from Rochdale, mate.
No, I was going to say, I have done the reading of the Mastoff bottle, but I try not to. Because there's lots of germs in there, isn't there?
I once did so many levels on my app, which is called Balls, ironically. And I stood up, my legs had gone dead, fell over.
Are you all right up there?
Yeah, fine. High score, ma'am. let's see what Jerry's up to. Talk to you in a sec, Carl. Jerry, you all right?
Yeah, I'm just searching Jamie East, Nottingham Post Speedos.
No,
it's not
don't,
there, is it?
Guys, don't search Jamie East in Speedos. You get something very, very different.
Yeah. Have you got them stuck in the turnstiles at Stoke?
Sorry, say it again, Jerry. Sorry, mate.
Got stuck in the turnstiles at Stoke.
You got stuck in the turnstiles?
Yeah, made it all the way through, but you had to stop for a month for the visit to print off the ticket. And I couldn't go again because Parkinson's, once you stop, you can't start again. So I was stuck in the turnstile.
Oh, mate, that's...
10 minutes.
That sounds like the end of a Kirby Enthusiasm.
Yeah, I went in.
Did anyone come to help you?
No, just eventually.
Eventually? How long do they leave you stuck in the turn? They can't leave a man with Parkinson stuck in a turnstile.
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Oh, Jerry.
And then I tried to watch me seat and fell down, because I was queued up, fell down, just a speed behind the ball.
Oh, mate.
It's
Stoke in the best of disabled people. Crap, everyone stands up, you can't see anything. Just get someone's backside in your face. Not pleasant at all.
No, especially if you get to watch Sunderland at home.
Gosh. Sunderland! Have you seen me jokes? Done some jokes to Kath? Tweeted them jokes.
Have you tweeted some jokes? Hang on a sec, I've got to... Kyle, I'll call you back in a minute, mate. I'm just going to free up this line for a sec.
No worries.
There we go, done. Sorry, you were telling us a joke, were you, Jerry?
Yeah.
Go on, what was it? Is it clean?
It starts off as about the Sunderland man. No, go on through the second one. Can't check email, Twitter. Can't do the second one. First one, it starts off on a seat and ended up on the stool.
What was
started on the seat and ended up on a stool.
Oh, I see. Very good. Oh, that's a good one. Yes, I see.
Hope Sunderland kept a log of it.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah. I'm pretty quick.
You are very...
You say.
he was very quick. He had the runs.
Oh.
No?
The Stadium of Light. You can guess what I've called it. The Stadium of Light.
Rhymes right, with light. Yes, I understand. Yeah. Jerry, I'll talk to you in a tick, mate. I'm just going to have a chat with Simon. Simon, how are you, mate?
Yo!
Yo! Well, yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. All right, Kev?
Yeah!
Are you driving?
No.
I mean, no. I didn't mean as in, like, are you doing something dangerous? Are you on shift?
Oh, yeah, I'm working, yeah.
Ah, got you. What are you up to?
I'm actually just waiting for something to happen, which is what you do a lot in this job.
Mate, you and me both, aren't we? Isn't that just what life's about? Just sitting waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, but at least you get a chance to catch up on your TV and listen to talk radio.
Well, exactly, that's why we're here. Oh, we didn't call Caddick back to find out what happened to First Date, so he'll be in bed by now, won't he?
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine so. He gets tucked in.
Is it on First Date, did you say?
No, he was watching First Dates. That's, you know, baby steps.
Can I say? Kath, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, good. Go on.
It's not an eye poo, my darling.
It's not an eye poo. What is it?
It's a poogle.
A poogle? Oh, I like that. Very good.
A poogle. That's a beauty.
Very good.
You like that?
Yep, I did. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What else have you been up to since we last spoke, Simon?
I haven't phoned in for a few days, actually. I haven't really had a lot to tell. There's not a lot to tell, really.
Who have you had in the back, so to speak?
Well, this is it. Nobody very interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I tell you, Friday night. Now, it's not very often I see something that astounds me, but occasionally it happens. So I'm driving along Friday night, and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I see on the road, on the opposite side of the road, is a young lady sitting on the pavement. I mean, it was freezing cold, there was ice everywhere.
Yeah.
Sitting on the pavement in a ball, just rocking backwards and forwards.
Oh dear.
So being
it's like the beginning
concern,
of a horror movie.
I know, well, it could have been if it wasn't for me turning up, bigging up myself, but here we go.
Yeah, do it.
So, I drove down the road, turned round, come back, pulled up by the side of her, I said, "You all right, love?" And she didn't sort of say anything to me. And then she looked up and she started garbling something at me, so eventually she managed to stand up and come waddling over to the car, and then using the car to help herself maintain a standing position. I said, "Is there somebody that I can phone for you? Because you're obviously in a little bit of distress. And is there someone I can phone?" Well, all she could do was come up with a postcode, but it wasn't a correct postcode. But I kept saying to her, "No, that's a postcode, my love. I need to have a phone number to phone somebody to let them know where you are."
Yeah.
She couldn't get it. Now, the thing that I've never seen before, and the thing that really took me back was, with that, she took off her stiletto, and she proceeded to try and make a phone call with it.
She what? She took off her stiletto phone, tried to make a phone call, tried to make a call with it?
Yeah, she was pressing numbers on it, and she put it to her ear, and I said to her, "My love, that is not a phone, it's your shoe." And with that, she aggressively thrust it towards me and said, "Well, you phone him then."
Amazing.
Oh, love.
That is amazing.
So anyway, I phoned the police. I thought I better phone the police because, you know,
well,
just
yes.
in case.
Just in
vulnerable.
Case.
She's vulnerable. So anyway, they told me to ring the ambulance. So I rang the ambulance. I waited there for about 3/4 of an hour with her, make sure she thought she just sat back down on the pavement, rocking backwards and forwards.
Oh, dear.
And eventually then she climbed into the bus shelter and got up on the bench and then proceeded to face plant herself under the concrete.
She was having a lovely evening.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's what happened. Yeah, that's Christmas Day to remember that, isn't it?
No, precisely. That's what you must get a lot of that around Christmas time, though, just people absolutely hammered.
Yeah, but I mean, that was different. That was, it's like, as the police said on the phone, there's something bit not right there.
No, I guess not, yeah. Well, you did the right, thing.
Well, I like to think so. I like to think I'm one of the good guys out there.
Hey, absolutely.
It breaks my heart to think, you know, what could happen. But what is it with these young girls when they can't handle their drink and they get themselves in a situation like that? They are opening themselves up to anything, and it really is quite frightening.
Well, yeah, young lads do it as well and end up in fights, don't they? The worst thing is what you think, where are her mates?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've all... But you know what? I mean, it's not... You're right, it's not just girls. I mean, I can remember, like, being... I don't know, obviously too young to drink, but being absolutely... You know, in our day, you used to go and sit in a graveyard and drink a full bottle of Martini Rosso. That was the kind of the rites of passage. And you'd be basically ill with alcohol poisoning on your own, walking 4 or 5 miles home.
So dangerous.
And it was dangerous back in whatever it was, in 1870 when I was that age, but God knows what it's like now.
And then you get home, and as soon as you saw your mum and dad, you would sober up a bit.
Oh,
just
yeah.
enough to get up the stairs.
Well,
quick.
You do a tactical vom in the bush at the front of the house.
As if they didn't know what was going on. Honestly,
yeah. I've had a bad burger. I'm not very well.
No, yeah. Exactly.
Those peanuts again.
Exactly. It was a bad pint. It was the ninth. Simon, we'll be back with you in a sec. We're just going to go and grab a quick break. It's Jamie Easton for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
If I had 10 drinks now, I'd be on my back. Hey, it's Jamie East on Talk Radio, 03444991000. Give us a call. We'll call you right back. We're talking about loads of stuff. Ian's through. It's through to another day, which means I'm with you again tomorrow, and I think I'm with you again on Wednesday. So get used to it, bucko. You're stuck with me. Jerry, are you there?
Yeah, my first job was paperboy.
Oh, was it?
That's a hard job.
A paperboy is a tough
working job. Days and nights, the mornings and nights. £4.50, 7 days a week.
How much did you get?
£4.50.
£4.50
a week.
How old are you, Jerry?
46.
46. So yeah, that's about, actually, that strikes true. That's about what I got as well for mine. The problem was, everyone had newspapers back then.
Yeah.
So every bloody house had them. And Sundays were the worst.
Oh, supplements and...
Oh, my life. The Sunday
just folding
times.
Them. Getting
Sunday
through.
Times, I'll take you apart like Lego. Take the bits.
Yeah, all right.
I think it's 7 to 8 hours at one doorstep trying to find it through the door.
Yeah, is it? How old are you? How old are you back then?
I can't remember. 16.
16. Yeah, it's a tough. It's a tough. It's a. But you know what? It's a character building job.
I went to Shoppers Champion after that.
You went?
Ooh.
You went?
There's such thing as a free carrier bag. No, there isn't anymore. Quick Save.
Quick Save. Oh yeah, I remember Quick Save.
He played bowling turkeys at night time. Bowling turkeys down the aisles.
Did you? What, frozen turkeys?
Frozen turkeys bowling down the aisles.
Well, amazing.
I was just, one day, there's a guy coming to fix the ceiling tiles. There's another ceiling, and loads of food come down. And then to raptors, all the food that we used to eat on nitrous. All the cakes come, Swiss rolls, loads of interesting Swiss rolls. Come down to a big investigation.
Oh, blimey. Did you not find, though, that doing the paper round, kind of, it was character building, built you up a bit and stuff? And
gave... No, I think it was miserable. It was raining, terrible. Had a canvas bag, and then just used to get wet through.
Yeah, but that's character building, Jerry.
I don't know.
Did it toughen...
labour, I think.
It toughened you up a bit, though, didn't it?
Yeah, send me up the chimney, because I get stuck up there.
Simon? Are you there, Simon?
I am.
What was your first job?
Paper round.
Paper round. How much do you get paid? Can you remember?
I used to do a double round.
Oh, yeah.
I used to get, I think, if I remember rightly, when I did just the weekend, it was like £2.16p or something.
Blimey, 16p.
For the weekend.
I mean, what's the point? You can imagine that. What, and did you, it was character building though, right?
Yeah, it made me, gave me enough money to buy my own stickers.
Yeah, but you know, it, yeah, but what it did, it gave, it instilled a discipline in you as, how old were we then? 14, 15, something like that?
Yeah, 14 when I first started doing that, yeah.
It instilled a work discipline in you that has never left you. You know, because you had the gumption back then to do a double shift. Whereas now, the problem is that there are, those jobs don't exist for kids now. You can, there are no Saturday jobs kind of washing cars and you know, the kids really struggle. They don't get taught any kind of work discipline. And I know I'm sounding like a right old fart now, aren't I?
I never even thought about it. Why are there no Saturday jobs? Are you saying that companies just don't employ people for Saturdays anymore?
Well, they do, but not when you're kind of 13, 14, no, I don't think.
Red tape, isn't it?
Well, or health and safety regulations protecting them, whichever way you look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's, you know, there are no paper rounds anymore for young kids, I don't think. I'm probably wrong. You know, you used to have like a young kid that used to hang around with a milkman, which sounds just very hashtag you tree now. But it's that's what you did.
You did have a milkman's
boy that used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and bomber. I mean, can you imagine if your son or daughter came home and said, "Great news, Dad! I'm going to be getting up and going out with that old bloke at 3 o'clock every morning, ran in his van for 3 hours." You'd be like, "Absolutely not! Yeah. I don't."
Think. Maybe that's the difference as well. Actually, that parents are more switched on and they don't want their kids doing that sort of stuff anymore.
Well, exactly. I'd rather dip my hand in my pocket and get them, pay them to empty the dishwasher. Which is what I have to do. But no, I don't think there are any those kind of Saturday jobs anymore. And the only jobs that are available for them now, they say, are like working in, like you're saying, WH Smith's or supermarkets, where it's pretty sanitised, isn't it?
I mean, for me, my first job was probably babysitting. Girls, that's what girls did.
Yeah.
Babysitting.
That's true.
I don't know whether people leave their kids with other kids anymore.
We're lucky enough. I'm lucky enough to very specifically bred my children to be old enough to babysit each other. It was a very fastidious kind of date that we went by specifically so that we would never have to pay a babysitter.
My next door neighbour was quite savvy though, because she realised that I was only 14 with her precious little boy, but my mum was right next door, so if there was any nonsense, I could ring my mum. So actually, she got two babysitters.
But when I was. My mum and dad used to get babysitters. It used to be any old Tom, Dick and Harry. Yeah. There used to be a lad that used to come around. I mean, weirdly, he's my dad's accountant now. Used to come around just with a carry bag full of cans.
Yeah.
And a dolly bird. That was it.
I think that might have been the motivation, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Empty house.
It was just an excuse to get your end away with someone in someone else's house, wasn't it? Dear. Have you ever babysat anyone, Jerry? Jerry?
Not my style.
Not your style. What did you used to get? Did your parents used to get babysitters for you when they went out?
No, I don't think so. Never went out. Miserable family, mine are.
My mum and dad didn't go out that often, to be honest.
Well, they're not miserable. They just enjoy being part of the family.
Went down the working men's club.
The working men's club?
See the man with crabs.
Went down a working men's club to see a man with crabs?
Yeah, and his wicker basket.
I tell you, I don't think much to his act.
And his sailor.
I hope he's improved his act. I wouldn't open with that.
And bingo.
I love a game of bingo.
Dancing on stage, but not before the last game of bingo.
Oh, marvellous.
Rules. You never could get in. You had to get somebody to sign you in. I don't know, I always got blackballed. Always got some...
Troublemaker.
Somehow I was.
I bet you were.
Got banned from quite a few workmen's clubs. Being a prat. It was good though.
Working men's clubs are good. There's one down my road. They're a dying kind of breed as well, aren't they? Working men's clubs.
Well, pubs are, because you can't drink outside and can't smoke inside.
Mm. But you can't have my bloody one down the Brookwood Club.
Pints. What was your first job on radio, Jamie?
Virgin, down about 18 months ago, mate.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The telly before.
Yeah, my first job in radio was here. Just downstairs.
What did you do before that?
I did a bit of TV, bit of this, bit of that. I ran a website for a long time, which was fun and horrific at the same time.
Who's the nicest person you met in TV and media?
Who was the first? The nicest.
Oh my!
Who's
the most genuine?
Do you know what? There are far more genuine people than there are other people. The nicest. Emma Willis.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Let's go, Emma.
She related to Wincy.
Sorry?
Is she related to Wincy?
I don't think she is related to Wincy, no. No, neither is she related to the brother from Different Strokes.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
What might be right for you may not be right for some. The man and girl. Don't know the rest of the words.
Man of means.
Hey, that was a funny show, wasn't it? They went off the rails.
Yeah, that's Kitty Fiddlebum.
Whoa!
I don't. Maybe not.
Oh no, there was an episode where him and his friends. It looked like they were being groomed.
Oh, the plot line.
Yeah,
right. Thank God.
I meant in real life because I know that the teenagers all went off the rails, didn't they?
I wasn't trying to get in trouble. Just referring to just dodgy episode.
No, but when you think about the premise of Different Strokes, very strange show, isn't it? Do you remember Dudley? There was a little lad appeared in the later series. It's called Dudley.
Yeah.
When the dad remarried, my brother was obsessed with him. Wanted to change his name from Duncan to Dudley.
Was he tiny as well, Dudley?
He was. He was very, very small. I don't think he was as tiny as
Arnold.
But no, I mean, but it was a bit of a cursed show, wasn't it, Jerry?
Yeah.
Because Darna.
Gary Cole. Or something.
Gary Coleman. He's no longer with us, is he?
No.
Willis is no longer with us. Or is he? No, he's not. And also the girl, Darna something or other?
She's gone.
Yeah. And I would imagine the dad has as well. He was about 90 then.
Yeah, Mr. Drummond.
Drummond
of Silence.
Mr. Drummond.
Drums.
I remember one episode where she was training to be a champion ice skater. Do you remember that one? And he was pushing her hard, and she ended up with an eating disorder, and then got better in half an hour. Beginning, middle, and end. That's
it. Only had a stroke in Everdale. Couldn't speak for 3 days. Suddenly recording him. Paul had neighbours lost his leg and it grew back.
Paul from Neighbours lost his leg and it grew back.
Captain Dennis lost his leg and it grew back.
What?
Well, hold on, I'm not having that. What are you talking about?
He lost his leg.
I remember he did.
Hold on.
He was very bitter about it for a long time.
It grew back.
No, it never.
Hold on a second.
Sure
he came on the show the other year.
How many legs did he have?
Stephen Dennis' leg. Hold on a second. Stephen Dennis... Oh, hold on a sec. Stephen Dennis makes limp excuse. Stephen Dennis has revealed how he manages to walk with a limp as his character, Paul Robinson, in Neighbours, the devious businessman, lost his leg after falling from a cliff.
Yeah, what, his leg fell off?
Requiring Stephen to walk with a limp when he's filming. He says, it's sort of ingrained in my memory now that it's my right leg, said the actor. I have to remember to do the limp and be aware of it. Once I didn't do it to see if anybody would notice, and would you believe I had a letter from someone in the UK? You can't put it by anybody.
Was that you?
He used to have to curl his toe up in his shoe to remind him to limp.
Can you just ask the taxi man, is he still there? Simon. Simon,
yeah. Hello, Jerry.
What do you do when you get a dodgy customer in the back? Have you ever come across that on your personal safety?
What, you mean like a runner or someone like that?
A runner or somebody who's been more dangerous. How do you assess and protect you?
I've got to be honest, we don't really get that where I am.
He's in the New Forest, it's quite posh.
Yeah.
You know where everyone lives.
I don't do rank work. So everything that I pick up, apart from the enemy, the U word, the dirty U word that no one likes, apart from that, because I do both, if it's customers for myself, then I take the phone calls whilst I'm working. So I'm assessing what they sound like on the phone. So if I get any hint that they're a bit drunk or they're a bit uncouth, let's say, then they don't get a taxi from me. So everything is pretty much protected. So I'm kind of the wrong person to ask, really.
What's the most bizarre thing that's happened in your taxi?
The most bizarre?
Yeah.
Most bizarre thing. I picked up a guy one New Year's Eve, this is going to contradict a little bit what I've just been saying, but it really is the exception rather than the rule. One of my hotels phoned me up to pick up this guy who wanted to go home. He was, to say he was drunk was an understatement, and the first thing he did was, during the journey home, he tried to offer me a job which was paying £250,000 a year, which I politely declined.
Because
I declined it, he then spent the rest of the journey trying to phone up his friends to find one of them that would help him kill me. I was then instructed to drive to this particular house so that him and his friend could kill me. But I had the last laugh, because I literally got him to within 20
them.
Seconds. Well, yeah, I got him to within 20 seconds of his house, and I thought, no, actually, sod it, you're going to spend the night in the cells. So I took him to the nearest police station, and he got locked up for the night. So
Did you get your fare?
I got the fare, but nothing more. But he actually got a record fine for drunken disorderly.
Yay, everyone's a winner.
It cost him over £1,000, that did.
Well, there you go. Wow.
He could afford it. He was going to employ you for, what, quarter of a million?
That's a grand a day. Does that answer your question, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm going straight down now, because I'm reducing my air off, as you can tell, my speech is going.
Okay, mate.
I'm going to wave goodbye.
All right, buddy.
Jerry, take care, yeah?
Have a good evening, fella.
Thank you very much.
Speak to you later, mate. Take care.
Bye, Jerry.
Hey, if anyone that's listening, it's Jamie East on Talk Radio in for Ian Lee. Give us a call, 0344 499 1000. We'll call you straight back. We're just talking about anything. Talking about first jobs, talking about Sunderland fans pooing on the seats, talking about Ian in the jungle. Loads of stuff, really. WH Smith's cropped up. Apparently, that's what I meant to say. Someone on Periscope said the reason WH Smith is still in business and doing so well is because they deliver all of the papers and the magazines to Sainsbury's and Tesco's and the big resellers.
Also, they've got radio stations, railway stations and airports sewn up, haven't they?
Yeah, and they charge through the bloody nose that are there as well, don't they? Mm-hmm. Alistair on Twitter saying, hey, thanks for tweeting, Alistair. He used to do a milk round on Saturdays in the late 70s and early 80s. He was eight or nine years old.
Wow.
A whole pound note for his troubles. There you go. Imagine that, 8 or 9 years old, jumping on the back of a milk float.
Imagine letting your 8 or 9 year old do that.
Strange bloke clinking. what else were we talking about? Food waste. That was it. Someone got in touch. I think it was Laura got in touch, saying if you've got food waste at home, you go onto the website Olio, OLIO, mm-hmm. and they'll take food waste or something.
Yeah, I saw that company. They were on the news this afternoon, Talk Radio, because they're saying that we're hypocrites. You know, we blame the supermarkets for wasting loads of food, but actually the main culprits for it are us at home.
Yeah,
because we chuck stuff out.
We don't meal plan, do we? And no. We don't buy what we need. We buy what we want.
Yeah.
Simon, are you there?
Yes. I'm going to give you a little nugget, actually.
Oh, go on.
I used to actually do the seafood selling around the pubs.
You were the fish man?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Hold that thought. We're going to go for a break. I'm going to interview a real-life fish man after this on Talk Radio. It's Jamie East.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, hold your horses, because we are on the phone now with a real life fishman, Simon from the New Forest. Simon.
Can you rephrase that?
You are real life. You're Aquaman. That sounds better, doesn't it? We've got Aquaman live on the phone. It came up in conversation, I think it was Jerry or someone on the phone earlier on, reminiscing about the guys who used to turn up at the pub at about 9:30 on a Friday night, when everyone was 3-4 pints in, just with a tray of, let's say, a couple of day-old fish.
Well, it was fresh, but I know what you mean.
Fresh-ish. Crab sticks can't be fresh, because they're not real. You were one of those fishmen. How did that happen? Where did you get the fish from?
Well, the evening starts with a trip to the depot. So there would be depots dotted around the country, which have main deliveries sent to. And then all the fish people, they have their allotted round.
Yeah.
In an area. So you have turf.
So you can't. It's like crack. You can't go on someone else's corner.
That's it. You can't go and deal prawns to, you know, to the enemy, as it were.
No, exactly.
So you basically you go there, start work at about 7 o'clock, go to the depot, and then pick up your stock, which you think you're going to need for that night, depending on how your round or your patch is, what sells best, what doesn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You would effectively buy that stock, so you'd have to pay for it. But
it's like Avon.
Yeah, a bit like that, yeah. I mean, the whole thing, from the seller's point of view, was just such a waste of time. But, you used to load up your basket, put your white coat on.
Yeah.
And then you'd go into this...
Did you have a net hat? Like a mesh kind of trilby?
No. I think some of them did. I didn't. I did have the white jacket, though. And you'd walk around with this basket shouting, "Seafood!"
Very good. What was the most popular? Yeah. Horrible crab sticks.
Pepperamis?
That's not seafood, is it?
Or is it? Yeah, it could be anything. I mean, that's the shop floor sweepings, if anything, is.
But no, they only used to do a few prawns and a few cockles, but you used to carry around a little salt and pepper around with you. And then anybody that
bought... Only white pepper, though.
It was, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And anybody that bought from you, you would stop, put your basket down, you'd unpack it, because they all come in, like, pre-packed portions. And then you'd ask them if they want salt and pepper. You'd have to stand there and put the salt and pepper on and then hand it over, and they'd give you the cash. And then you obviously, carry on. You had crisps.
You must have stank.
No, not really, because it was all wrapped. It was all, so you never came into contact with the actual food.
Oh, I see.
When you took the wrapper off, they went straight in the bin anyway. And so you didn't have, like, open fishy food stinking out the place. But it was a bit off-putting. I mean, the guy that trained me originally, when I first got in his car on the very first day, this is a shame how things have changed.
Yeah.
He had an old beat-up car, and the ashtray was literally overflowing in the middle, on the dashboard, and slightly further down by your knees was the ashtray.
Yeah.
Absolutely chock-a-block and overflowing with fag butts.
Oh, blimey.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, this bloke sells food, you know? But, obviously, life was a bit different back then. But, yeah.
Lovely. A real life fisherman.
At the end of the night, you'd go back to your depot. You'd account for what you sold. You'd give back what you didn't sell. And then pay for what you had sold. And then whatever's left, you put in your...
Well, so it's no win, no fee. Right. That's all right, then.
Basically, yeah. But to be honest, the profit margin was so small.
Yeah.
That you'd have been looking at about maybe £15 on a good night if you were lucky.
Oh, God. Well, then, you can be asked for that.
By the time you take your fuel out of that.
Well, exactly. It's hardly worth unwrapping a cockle.
No, that's it.
Thank you for that, Simon.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
We were going to talk about. If anyone's listening, it's Jamie Easton for Ian Lee on Talk Radio, 03444991000. Give us a call. Wouldn't mind speaking to someone. If anyone watched the celeb after show thing, what's it called?
Extra Camp.
Extra Camp. If anyone watched that, give us a shout. Apparently, Vardy's been sticking her oar in against our Ian, which obviously we'll not do, but we didn't catch it. So if you saw it, we're going to have a look at it and catch up. If you saw it, give us a call back because we want to discuss it. Simon, did you watch it? Oh, I guess you've been on shift, haven't you?
Well, I haven't had a chance to catch up with it all weekend. Is he doing all right, Ian, is he?
Yeah, I think so. He seems to have bounced back quite well. I didn't see it all because obviously this show interrupts it. So we had to come in and kind of watch in on silent, weren't we?
Yes.
Rebecca Vardy was voted out. Yeah. But that's where the silence ended.
She?
Yes.
Huh?
She's out and she's been sticking the boot into Ian, talking to Anton Deck.
Oh, and she's still not a celebrity, so that didn't work, did it?
She looks like a deeply unhappy human being.
Do you know what? I'm trying to take the higher ground because I don't think it's nice to be personal about people. I don't think I need to say anything. She's doing it to herself.
Well, I don't take the higher ground. She looks like a right cow.
So, she's got something in her eyes. They just...
I don't know. She just looks like she's got one of those faces where it looks as though someone's farted right near her all the time. Cheer up.
Ah, so is the strawberry thing all blown over now then, or is it still coming?
No,
up?
I think some people are still bearing grudges.
Oh, really?
Still a rumbling away.
Even though it wasn't Ian's fault.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's done loads of really nice, selfless things, but instead of saying thanks very much, mate, they've kind of assumed that he's playing a game. Anyway, you can't win with some people.
Remember what I spoke about the other night? About a certain Mr. Allen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you should have heard him this morning.
I wouldn't, though, because I don't like my breakfast bitter.
Well, what's this? I don't know. What's this? Who are we talking about?
Steve Allen on LBC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's he grumbling about?
Everything.
Oh, everything.
Mate. Ian's got to be the next one to go. Who is he? Etc. Etc.
They used to work together. He has heard of him. They used to work together.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Sounds to me like somebody needs to get out of the bitter barn and play in the hay.
Mate, he's been...
It'll be all right, because when Steve does his in conversation with him, he'll become Ian's best mate.
No, he won't, because Ian knows him.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about, because it's a point that did come up. So I'm going to mute you down for a minute, because the cab noise is hurting my ears. We're talking about, in the break, weren't we, about people... getting their knickers in a twist about how the construct of reality TV is put together, and people think that people get edited out.
Mm-hmm. And that the producers have their favourites.
Yeah. And I wanted to have my say about this because it's something that drives me absolutely batty. Have we got time to talk about this now? Yes, we have. Basically, it's a logical thing when you sit back and think about it objectively. Is that the TV producers of any reality show, whether it be Strictly, whether it be The Jungle, whether it be Big Brother, whether it's Celebrity, anything, Dancing on Ice, the construct of those shows is such that it matters to them not one bit who wins. They do not give a flying stuff who wins that show. Because the second that the winner of the competition is announced, the show is over. The build-up to that show is what it's all about. The story, the drama, the friendships, the friction. Who wins it doesn't make any difference. So for when people assume or have in their heads that storylines are edited out or certain housemates or contestants are given a bad cut from the producers, it's just nonsense. Because I tell you, the one thing that a producer would not do on television is overlook something good. Because, my God, that hour is tough to fill. You know, if there is enough mundanity, is that a word? I've just made it up. There is enough mundane footage that goes on air as it is, let alone to say that actually they're putting that on in place of something juicy that Fizz from Corey was doing. You know, it just winds me up because people assume that this editing, it's a complete fabrication. Because why the hell would they do that? Why would they want to make their show duller by not putting in something good? And because they don't care who wins. Fiona is here. Fiona, hey, how are you? The first lady of the evening. It's nearly midnight.
I'm fuming and I'm a brave ringing. I've never done it before.
You never done what? Phoned in?
Never phoned in.
Oh, welcome.
I was going to save it for when Ian came back, but I'm afraid I have been prolifically tweeting about tonight.
Oh, thank you. Good for you.
I'm so angry. Right, and I completely 100% agree with you. Rebecca Vardy is a cow.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll tell you what she said about him. She said he was fake.
Oof.
She said he's got a game plan.
Right.
He wants to win, and I put in brackets, who doesn't? Isn't that the whole point of going in?
Yeah.
She said... listen to this bit. Kath, listen to this, because I met you at Brighton,
right,
and we had a lovely chat, and I told Ian he was in my top three most favourite men of all time.
Oh, I remember you.
Hold on a sec. Right. Ian's one in your top three of men of all time.
Favourite men of all time.
Well, including like Charles Darwin and people like that? Wow, good for you, Ian. Carry on.
I just think he's fab. Anyway, she said he's playing... This is what got me. He's playing the sympathy card.
Right.
She also said that he isolates himself on purpose,
right,
but that when the cameras go on, he suddenly becomes the life and soul of the party.
Aren't the cameras on all the time?
Well, that's exactly it.
Here's my take on it. I feel sorry for her because she's missed out on knowing a really, really nice person because of her prejudices. I feel sorry that she hasn't got the empathy or the understanding of what it's really like to be dealing with the things that he deals with on a day-to-day basis.
She's an ambassador for Young Minds UK.
Well, then she should know better.
And this is what we've all said on Twitter tonight. Could I just say also that I thought that the extra camp were actually really good. I particularly think Joseph Walsh is on Ian's side. He said, I quote from another one of my tweets, Rebecca Vardy was a catalyst to a lot of Eardley's problems.
Yeah.
So I said that's spot on, and I think that might be one of the reasons that she went tonight.
Well, it's not a good look, is it? That's all I'm going to say. And I don't need to tell you what I think of her because she's
a cow.
She's showing herself. She's showing herself.
She's a cow, isn't she, Fiona?
She's an absolute cow. And then, of course, what happens is you put your Team Ian things up, and then you get into all these arguments. She's not a bully. She just I can't stand this. She says it as it is.
But you know what? On all those ones, I just tell you how it is. I'm Marmite. You either love me or hate me. No, that's
you're
just
rude.
It's just they try and bypass the fact that they're cows. Fiona, I've got to go to a break. Stay on the line. You've plucked up the courage. You've done it. You're on now. You're in for the long haul. We've got to go for the news. Can we call you back and speak to you after the news?
All right. No,
perfect. No. Speak to you then. It's Jamie's Talk Radio. Simon will speak to you again too. Here we go. Go.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hello, you certainly do. It's Jamie East. It's just gone midnight. It's now, I don't even know what day. It's Tuesday, the something of December. Give us a call, 03444991000. We'll give you a call straight back. Text the word talk and then your message to 87222. Text to 25 pence. Plus your standard network rate. We did this on Thursday. I think we'll do this every time on this show from now on. It's midnight. We'll have a decent piece of music at midnight just to see the day in properly. This tune, my unexpected banger for today, is taken from the soundtrack of the film Call Me By Your Name, which is an amazing film about two homosexuals in America staying in Italy with Army Hammer. It's a tune and a half. This is Love My Way, the Psychedelic Furs. There we go. That's a good way of seeing in the day, isn't it? Psychedelic Furs, Love My Way. It's Jamie East on Talk Radio. Just the one song. Just to edge us into Tuesday. Fiona, you all right?
Hello, my lovely.
Hello.
I'm all right.
See, you sound a bit more relaxed now. Bit of music's loosened.
I know. I'm going to see that film next Friday. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, it's so good. It's such a good film.
Have you seen God's Own Country?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
God's Own Country is fantastic. This is the sunnier version of that.
Right.
This is a bit, Call Me By Your Name is a bit more graphic, if you catch my drift.
I do, I catch your drift.
The young gentleman has some alone time with a peach.
Oh, oh my God, oh yeah.
I think he must have de-stoned it.
I was going to say, God's Own Country was just sheep, but not, you know, that's just part of the story.
No, not like from Derby.
No.
In fact, God's Own Country, there was that great scene in that, wasn't there? Where the little lamb was with the coat. It was weird, wasn't it? It was a great... Anyway, people won't know what we're talking about.
I know, but I vote that film the best that I've seen in 3 years, at least.
You don't strike me as, if you don't mind me saying, Fiona, you don't strike me as the type of lady that's obsessed with kind of, I guess indie art house gay cinema.
You see, there's always more to a person. Never judge.
No, exactly. No, that's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. Now, we were talking about Extra Camp, weren't we?
We were talking about it again. I was telling you that I thought that actually, overall, the Extra Camp were very much with Ian.
Yes, that's right.
And in particular, Joe Swash.
Joe Swash. Who'd have thought Joe Swash would be Knight in shining armour?
Yeah. I mean, every night, I think he's been the one. I mean, none of them are horrible or anything, but he just seems to be the one fighting Ian's corner.
Well, that's good. Well, they like to have objectivity on both sides, don't they? They like it to be a democratic programme.
They do. And the other thing that we were talking about on Twitter, me and Twitter, is the fact that I thought that perhaps... Becky going might now change the dynamics a bit, because I was wondering on Twitter whether or not it was her, because we only see an hour.
Mm.
We don't see the other 23.
Yeah.
And I was wondering whether or not, because she's so bitchy, whether she's putting comments into people's ears, and because she's such a strong person, and she really was one of the leaders of that camp, that they were following her lead with Ian, especially as they think she understood mental health because of that conversation that she'd had, you know, when she was 14 and all that. Yeah. And I just wondered whether they were taking their lead.
I don't know, because Jamie said that he'd pointed it out days before, didn't he? On the episode I saw, was it yesterday's, when she accused him of playing a game? Here's my take on this, accusing someone of playing a game when you've decided that you don't like them and you're not going to treat them the same as everyone else, it's kind of convenient, isn't it?
Totally.
It justifies you behaving badly. Yeah. Oh, he's only faking, he doesn't mean it. This isn't real, I'm not really hurting somebody. Okay, if that's what you want to tell yourself...
But yeah,
I want you to watch it and see, because it was just the way. And then if you look on her Twitter page, then all her followers are all saying, "Oh yeah, Ian's not bullied, and she's not a bully. She's wonderful. She's this." And that Nicola McLean, oh my God, well, she's fine, wonderful.
I saw that. I saw that the other day.
So I know Nicola. Yeah, well, she was on Big. She did Celebrity Big Brother when I was working on that.
See, I didn't like her on that either, Jamie. But of course, I'm only somebody who watches.
But it said, with Nicola. I mean, she knows what she's doing. It's just her job. That's what they're just to stir. Yeah, it's the spiel, and it's the same for Rebecca Vardy. She's got naff all else going for her, and I'm not being derogatory towards her, but she hasn't. She's trying to carve a career out for herself in her own right, and the only way of doing that is by following suit. And she's been led by example from your Katie Prices and your Nicola McLeans and your other kind of. They've all got a type, and the type is to be, you know, the can I speak to the manager please kind of person.
But being a strong, powerful woman doesn't necessarily mean picking on the weakest or perceived weakest person.
Beyonce
or throwing
would
your weight
never
around.
Behave like that.
No,
he deleted his email. because he felt so bad that he thought it was his fault. There were other people there shouting out.
Oh, in the task, yes.
Oh, my God, you should have heard. I can't. Do you know what? This has been the worst I'm a celebrity in terms of my nerves.
Yeah.
I know, God knows how you are, Jamie and Kath, because obviously...
I'm all right. I'm fine, to be honest.
I used to enjoy a biscuit and a cup of tea, but now I'm on edge the whole time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but I kind of want to see him triumph. There's a lot of people suggesting, oh, get him out, let him off. Listen, he knows himself. If he didn't want to be there, he would walk. And that doesn't mean he's playing a game. It means that he really wants to try and go the whole time and be voted out, if that's what happens, to be voted out. But I think if he walked, he would feel like he'd failed, because you've watched him. He beats himself up
all the time. And you know what, I've been watching Extra Camp, I haven't been listening to the radio, I'm afraid, so I don't know if somebody else has said, but when they were talking about the emails and everything, they said, oh yeah, Jamie didn't get his. And then somebody sort of as a byline went, oh, and Ian didn't get his. And it's almost like whatever Ian does isn't right.
Yeah.
You know, Stanley went slightly up in my esteem because he did stand up for Ian.
Yeah, and you know what? I was a bit kind of cynical about Stanley to start with and suggested that, you know, he knows the score. He knows about politics. He's been in politics for a long time, so he can read people and he knows how to manipulate situations. I stand by that. I don't think manipulation necessarily is always a bad thing. That's what a politician does. But in this case, maybe he's seen that the behaviour is bad.
I was just going to say that because you didn't do Amir Khan. Who is the sneakiest campmate? Ian.
He said that?
Yeah.
Well.
He said, but he keeps doing, he says, oh, Ian's the sneakiest campmate, but you know, he does a manipulation here and this, that and the other. And so, of course, I've tweeted, well, I would have thought Amir Khan would have put himself up for that.
I think they're a bit intimidated by how clever he is as well. It's a bit like, you know, when you're at school and you're the clever kid. You either have to be funny or you're going to be really unpopular.
I won't pay too much attention to what Amir Khan thinks about anything.
Yeah, everyone's a clever
kid.
No, I
agree. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but...
Carry on. We've got 47 minutes to catch up. Hang on a sec. Have you met... Simon's here. Sorry. Can we have Simon up as well? Sorry, Simon. Sorry, fella. I didn't realise. I forgot you were still there. Simon, meet Fiona. Fiona, meet Simon.
Hi, Simon.
Hi, Fiona.
All right, darling.
I'm all right, my darling. How are you?
Good. I'm better now, thank you. Now that I've got the anger out.
I'm very aerated.
Yeah.
I do. I'm taking this all very personally. It's ridiculous.
But anyway, I've
talked enough. You carry on.
No, but you know something, though, that they're all showing themselves up. You don't need to say anything. And you don't need to get involved in arguments on Twitter or engage with those people who don't understand it and are proud to be completely ignorant of people's feelings, even. Not even mental health, people's feelings.
Or, on the other hand, get stuck in. Because that's what Twitter's all about.
I'm coming to the rabbit hole again in March, and I'm bringing two friends this time. I'm recruiting.
Oh, good.
And two of us have got the T-shirts, so we're wearing them. I reckon a lot of us will be wearing the I'm with Ian Lee T-shirts in March.
Good, because actually that phrase is taking on a different meaning, isn't it?
Oh, my God, absolutely. Well, I'm going
to... Is it like Talk to Frank?
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
Talk to Frank, I'm with Ian.
I'm with Ian. I'm that kid.
Did he take his giant sellotape into the jungle?
Absolutely not. No, that's his pension pot.
Is it?
Don't want that getting damp.
Right, one of you's got to go. I'll tell you what, Simon, I've had you on the phone for ages, mate. Thank you so much, buddy.
Speak to you later.
Yeah, bye. Take care, mate.
Bye, love you, bye. Bye,
thanks, mate. Speak to you. I'm in tomorrow, love you too. Because Ray is coming on. Ray. Let's talk. There's something about Ray. Oh, he's coming on in a minute. Do we know Ray? Is Ray a new
We know place? A couple of Rays.
We know a couple of Rays.
Let's see which one it is.
Let's find out which one it is. Dun, dun, dun. And Ray, how are you, my mate? I'm saying mate.
That was quick. I've literally just got the phone call back. Wow.
Well, is that Ray?
We don't muck about. Yeah, we were wondering which Ray it was, and apparently it's that Ray. Which Ray is that?
Muffled Ray.
Yes, but am I muffled tonight?
No, you're not.
Muffled Ray. Fancy being known as Muffled Ray. It's like a character out of Goodfellas. Hey, why don't you go down speed and Muffled Ray sort you out? How are you, Ray?
Yeah, good. I'm just a little bit peeved as well with I'm a Celebrity.
But okay.
For the same reasons, really, that's already been said.
I think he's just an easy target at times, isn't he?
Well, there's the viewers need different protagonists and antagonists in shows like this. So they need the one that they're rooting for. So at the moment that appears to be Toph, because she's playing an absolute blinder.
She's Susie Sunshine.
And she seems to be nice. She's kind of like, she's got a good kind of feel-good story about her. You've got Vardy, who's the baddie. And you've got Ian, yeah. who's the misunderstood character. So the trilogy of kind of personalities is there in almost every single kind of reality show. That's why they're cast. That's these shows are cast tighter than Hollywood movies. You know, they're very, very carefully put together so that all facets of human nature are covered.
But I think when they put Ian in, they thought they were going to get someone who would be a stirrer. I don't think they quite understood how emotional it would get with Ian.
No, they're probably not. They should listen to the show more.
Having said that, they're probably enjoying it.
Sorry, say it again, mate.
Having said that, because I agree, it's 100%, they probably thought Ian was going to be completely different, but I still think they'll think they've got a good deal with him because everyone's talking about him.
I'm surprised how much airtime he's had, to be honest, and how much he's been intrinsic in the storylines, and he's been a vital part of the show. But what were they expecting? What did you think they were expecting? Like a bit of a cheeky kind of prankster?
Yeah, well, because when he was on the 11 o'clock show, that's exactly what he was. But again, I mean, Kath will know better, but I think he was just playing a character when he was on the 11 o'clock show.
That was his first job in television, and he was told to play a role. He was supposed to be a nasty little SH1T, and that's the role he was given. And sometimes, you know, Daisy Donovan was saying, oh, I can't read that out, that's awful. Give it to Ian.
Yeah.
And because he didn't know any better, he didn't realise that was the role that he would be stuck with for a long, long time afterwards. People assuming that he was that person.
But putting Ian in the jungle on the base of the 11 o'clock show is like putting Ricky Gervais in because he used to be Suede's manager.
Yeah.
It's like there's been a lot of space in between that.
I do kind of wonder whether they ever heard the show. They can't have.
Do you not think?
No. No. I mean, they still had him billed as a comedian.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. It is a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah,
but are you happy with how he's doing?
I think he's doing brilliantly, and that's the thing, because I've suffered in the past with illness, and so because they were saying as soon as he's involved in something, his personality changes, but that's exactly how he is sometimes. That's his role. When he was playing the bingo, that's him, you know, in his...
Well, he was on air, wasn't he?
Also, you're allowed to have a laugh, aren't you? Just let me just check the list of things you are allowed to do if you're not... You know, sometimes... I've not got depression, I've not got anxiety, but sometimes if I'm feeling crappy but someone asks me to mess around, if I play with the kids, for example,
feels
do
good.
Something different, then it takes you out yourself, doesn't it? What's wrong with that?
It's
supposed to be, you know, hiding under a rock all day. I don't understand what people want.
No, exactly.
I think they're intimidated by him because he's a complicated character.
And also because he's massive.
He's really tall. He is really tall.
Would you agree with that, Fiona?
Absolutely, 100%. I would. I just hope now we see a little bit... I know this is going to sound a bit... But a little bit slightly more relaxed, Ian.
Yeah.
You know...
Well, now that the antagonist is out of the equation, I think, to be honest, he needs to watch out for Jamie, not this one.
100. Do you know what? Jamie and Ian actually know each other?
No, and because, I saw the side eye on the first day as well. I wonder what that was about. Yeah.
Who? What was that?
Jamie. Saw it as well. As soon as Ian walked into camp, Jamie had the most filthy look on his face.
It smelled like he had a dog turd moustache, didn't he? I think he's a wrong one as well. I think he's as bad as Vardy.
100%. He needs to go. But, of course, he's the one who looks a bit like a sex god, isn't he, under the shower. So he's got the...
Who, Ian?
I haven't seen him shower yet.
No, you won't.
They say that you get the face that you deserve. He's got the pecs and his six pack and all the rest of it, but he's got a face, he's got a miserable face, he's got an unhappy face.
I think he can't hide his emotions. No. And you get flashes of something that's not very attractive there.
Yeah, someone's saying on Periscope here they wanted to like him, but he's sly. And I think you're right, he is. He's just got this, he's in there because he desperately wants to win it. And he's never going to win it in a million years because he hasn't got the personality to win it, but he can't disguise his disappointment at the fact that he's completely outgunned.
The thing we both noticed tonight was the flash of anger when he didn't get his email.
Yeah. No, exactly.
It's all right, mate. You know, when someone's saying it's all right, mate, but you can tell it really isn't.
No. Yeah. But he didn't say, oh, it's all right, mate, and give him a bit of a man hug.
He was kind of shut up about it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we'll carry on, hold those thoughts. We're going to go to a break. It's Jamie East on Talk Radio. Give us a call, 03444991000. We'll give you a call straight back. We're talking about the jungle, but we'll talk about anything. I mean, we will literally talk about any old crap. We're going to go for a break.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I am Jamie Easton. I'm in for Ian Lee. Give us a call, 03444991000. We'll give you a call straight back. You can text the word talk and then your message to 87222, or just give us a tweet at Talk Radio. It's 12:30. We've got another 30 minutes to go. We're still in the thick of the jungle, the thicket of it. We've got Fiona and Ray. Hello, both of you.
Hello.
Hello. So we were talking before about how now that Vardy's gone, who was the kind of main antagonist, and Jamie is kind of struggling a bit, that we're hoping he kind of settles into himself a bit more and starts to relax and be able to kind of take his foot off the pedal a little.
Yeah, but there've been some really funny moments. I don't want that to be forgotten, that he's been at the root of some of the really funny moments, like the thing he said about Ant and Dec yesterday that led to the T-shirt gag. That was great, and everyone knew he was joking. Yeah. Everyone knew, apart from apparently the Daily Express, who decided to turn it into clickbait, that he was blasting them.
And Stevie's on Twitter, Cass, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, I know.
God.
But some people, some people are determined to justify their own prejudices. So leave them. that's their problem.
You've been very good.
I'm trying to keep it classy, because I think someone's got to be.
I'm not.
So classy.
I just wonder, like, it would now depend on how much Jamie is revered in the campus to where we see Ian in it. Because I just feel like he's always on the peripheral, and with.
But I think you're right. You have to be on the periphery a bit. If you get into the middle of it at this stage of the competition, you're sticking your head above the parapet a bit too much.
If you notice, Stanley's gone very quiet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so I think actually that gang will end up being Toff, Stanley. You know, once the crazy gang are out, it'll be a completely different dynamic, and you'll start to see some other characters coming forward. I really want Jenny to get a bit more airtime.
Which one's Jenny?
Fizz.
Fizz.
Coronation
Fizz. Oh, right, yeah.
She knows.
She's been very quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's a bit clever. It's a cleverer game to play, is that when you see people that are either desperate to win it, you let them just fall on their own...
Show themselves up.
Yeah, you let them fall on their own sword, really, and just let them go.
I'm sorry, Jamie, what are you talking about? The only person with a game plan in there is Ian.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously, you're not getting it.
And he seems to be really enjoying that as well, doesn't he?
But everyone has a little bit of a game plan.
Of course you do. Everyone... And why would you go into the jungle to win it? That's the whole blooming point of it.
Well, I'm not sure Ian did he? Catherine, even. You'd know better, but...
No. What's he gone in for? Go on, then.
For the money and the exposure.
Excellent.
Yeah. That's it. He wants to publicise this radio show. And he wants the money. But and you get paid whether you win whether you it, or, it not. Or not.
But I think. But once. But you must have a little bit of. You must get slightly tactical. I think it'd be impossible not to. Once you're in there, you can go in there with the best will in the world, I think. Yeah. But I think once you're in there, you do have to think about how you're being perceived. And I think it'd be impossible not to.
Maybe for the first few days, but I mean that'd be exhausting, wouldn't it, all the time?
Yeah, well, it's exhausting being a celebrity. I would imagine.
I wouldn't know.
I would imagine.
I've had a few days of newspapers picking up bits and bobs of what I say, and it's infuriating. You know, especially as I'm a journalist myself, and I know when people are either cutting corners or not.
Just
the truth
call them out on it. Daily Mirror wrote something today about, was it, that his money was paying for his mum's healthcare?
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Oh, yeah, I don't know where they've got that from.
Yeah, because it's £350,000.
It's true. So they've heard him talking about how expensive his mum's healthcare is and done their own story.
Actually, could I just say, although I don't know where that came from, I know I sound like the Twitter queen, I'm terrible, a lot of people are very impressed by that.
Well, I know, but...
But I
hope we've not just done his PR. his PR. He's probably paying thousands to a PR company to build him up. We've been like, nah, it's not true. They're like, bloody hell, they've... debunked it.
He will probably spend some money on his mum. Of course he will. But it's not... I mean, I don't know where they've got this stuff from.
Yeah, but they, like you say, they're just it's just tidbits of
it is.
Like
it's just
fragments,
you know what?
Of this.
I don't think a lot of the papers. I don't think even care whether it's true or not. It's just keeping the machine rolling.
Of course it does.
And, you know, the producers don't care either. They just want people to still be talking about I'm a Celebrity.
It's all good for them. It's all good for them. So, Rebecca's gone. Who's out tomorrow, do we think? Ray?
I think it could be Jamie.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're going to get picked off, or do you think that this was just a freak?
Who's in there? So we've got Jamie in there, Stanley.
Vanessa, I think she'll go.
The thing is about Vanessa...
See, completely forgot she was even in it.
But
didn't know who Wham were.
Vanessa has a fan base, though, right? Yeah. Vanessa has a fan base of the generation that will vote, okay?
I'll tell you what, she'll be the winner that 2017 deserves. Do you know what I mean? We've had such a... She's the campmate equivalent of a glass of warm water. She is, isn't she? I mean, there's nout there.
You're not holding back at all, are you?
No, I'm not.
You were really annoyed about that trial she did yesterday, aren't you?
No, it's just embarrassing. She's a bloody singer.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you know, manufactured pop band, but, you know, and a fairly decent one as well. But it's not to know, A, who sang Don't Stop Me Now, and B, what George Michael's band was called. Shut up. I mean, you could get anyone. You get Jerry back on the phone, he'd know... He'd know Wham. You know who Wham were.
It's true. Jerry's not.
Caddick probably bought Make It Big. You know. Let's not.
Caddick could list their number ones in order.
Let's get things in perspective. It's not about being a bad showbiz or a big celebrity. It's about not knowing who Wham were. It's about being a bad Briton.
Oh wow! You really are offended.
Come on, Jamie, get in there, man.
Oh, you know, bloody hell, ridiculous.
I don't know. I just think she's so. She's nice, but I've never seen anything of her. But I suppose you're right. I forget
she's got
about
nothing going people. For.
I'm with Ray. I'm kind of hoping it would be Jamie, but I think there's still a couple of showers left in him.
You steady yourself on. But if we're saying that, I reckon Ian's in the final three.
Do you think?
I think so.
Do you?
I can see.
Don't jinx it.
I'm not trying to jinx it. I'm just saying I think he's got a good chance of getting into final three because when you look at it, you've got Jamie to go, you've got Vanessa to go, you've got Fizz to go, or maybe the final four actually.
Yeah.
It could be Stanley, Amir, Toff, and Ian.
I don't think Amir. I think Amir is on a. I think his coat is on a rusty nail.
Do you?
Yeah, I think people have got really fed up with him.
Birthday was.
Yeah, I think that people are seeing beyond the
shtick.
Yeah.
Okay,
mate. Hasn't he got a couple of million followers on Twitter, though?
Yeah,
but that translates into nothing. I remember I've got 100,000... Right, I was in a band in the 90s, yeah? And since then, I've kind of done this career. And I remember the band... God help me if they're listening now. We reunited for a gig about 15 years after we split up to do a gig. And the drummer of the band, who's one of my best friends in the world, had exactly that mentality. He was like, well, Jay, look, you've got 100,000 followers on Twitter. If we release a record and only 10% of them... You know, just doing the maths. But it doesn't equate into figures at all. You know, otherwise, if it did, bloody hell, we'd all have bought Taylor Swift's album. Did you buy Taylor Swift's album? No. You know.
No.
The other thing is that, you know, a lot of these accounts that have lots and lots and lots of listeners, you lose track of lots of followers. They have lots of bots as well.
Yeah.
The more popular you get, the more you get on people's lists.
Yeah. I mean, all of mine are 100% real, clearly.
Obs. But you weed them out, don't you?
No, you're right. Was Jerry phoning in? Did he have something to say? Or he wanted to defend himself? What with Wham? Oh, well, we'll let him back on tomorrow to defend himself. I think he was struggling with his meds a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, apologies, Jerry. I'm sure. What was he defending himself about? That he didn't know who Wham were?
No, he'd say he would.
No, he'd say he would know who Wham was.
Of course
you would. Is there clicking his fingers to wake me up before you go as we speak?
Going back to the voting system, though, I'm in my 40s and I've downloaded the I'm a Celeb app to vote for him. So
it's quite an old camp this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only Toff really representing the youth.
Because if you think about it, it's ITV, tactically speaking, X Factor was extremely young this year.
Yeah.
And they got I'm a Celeb, which is relatively old, I would say. There's not a lot there for 15-year-old kids.
No, you're right. Apart from Toff.
But well, even Toff, you know, it's, you know, Made in Chelsea is not what it was.
No, but she does go in the shower a lot. Because I've been doing the clippings for for all this stuff, I have to read the newspapers every single day.
Yeah.
And there can be some quite, you know, some of the storylines that have been going on. They all get eclipsed by Toff in the shower. Every single time that there's a shower photo to be had, that takes up most of the page.
That's true. That's true. Well, that's what it's there. It's the iconic waterfall scene, isn't
it? Of course it is.
Wait, if I ever went in,
you'd be in there all the time.
Just you wait. I'd be waxing my back under that waterfall every single day.
You'd have fingers like prunes.
Someone pointed out on Twitter, on Periscope, it would have been a lot younger had Jack Maynard stayed in.
True.
Thank you for pointing
that would have been
out.
Really interesting, actually.
Absolutely right, because he was the YouTuber brother of Connor. I mean, God, imagine that.
Could I just say that my daughter, because obviously she's known that I've followed Ian Lee for years, all her student mates have also downloaded the app, like us, and they're all voting for Ian as well.
Good.
Even though they don't really know him. But my daughter has educated them all.
That's what, right, bullying. Bullying for votes.
are you going to take all the flack, Catherine, when Ian comes out?
What flack?
She's deleting everything. She's deleting all these shows.
He wants out. I'm sure I can handle that. It's not just me. We're all in cahoots. There is a fairly tight-knit team of his nearest and dearest, and we've all had the conversation. Yeah, let's keep voting for him, but just don't tell him.
But the thing is, he'll be out, and then he'll have a nice week off in a five star Versace hotel.
Yeah, then he's going to his sister's for a week.
Yeah, so by the time he comes back, he'll have no knots in his shoulders. He'll be good to go. This will be just a distant memory.
Yeah,
and he's going to have so much catching up to do. Last thing he's going to do is listen back to these shows to see what we were saying.
Oh, he will never listen back.
No,
no, he can't. He can't. But have you ever tried listening to your show when you're not on it?
No.
It's God, awful.
Oh, no. Never God, do it. It's worse. You know, air checks. No, thank you very much. Ah, dearie me. What are we talking about? Oh, we've got 25 minutes left.
Can I ask you one question, Jamie?
Please do. Make it 25 minutes long and I'll love you forever.
Were you actually signed to a record label?
Yeah. Yeah.
What label were you on?
Look, I can see where this conversation's going and we are not playing it.
What's the name of the band?
I was on Beggar's Banquet.
I know, because the only reason I ask is my brother was an A&R man, so...
Oh, really? Who for?
He worked for Polydor.
Ooh.
And then they got bought up, I believe, by Universal. So he was at Universal about 20 years.
Oh,
but
wow.
Then within Universal, he ran sort of various labels. So he was on Island for a while.
What's his name?
He's actually the first ever judge to be on TV. He was before Simon Cowell. His name's Paul Adam, but he was a judge.
I know, yes. Yeah. That's your brother, is it?
Yeah, my brother.
I once saw him in the House of Fraser in Guildford.
and he got offered, he hated it, he hated being on TV.
So he put together Hearsay?
Yes, absolutely right, yeah. So he... And he, because whenever I mention it, people will say, "Was he Nasty Nigel?" I said, "No,
no, he was the other one."
He was the quiet record guy.
Well, he was the
dark haired one.
Yeah, he was the brains. Yeah. He was the brains.
Well, he was basically saying what he wanted.
So it was him, Nicky Chapman, and Nigel Lithgow, wasn't it?
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And then when they asked him to come back and do the next one, he said absolutely not, because he said he'd go and take a suit into the local dry cleaners and he'd get mobbed.
Right.
And he hated it. He was very shy.
I mean,
I just wish it was me, because I'm the opposite to him.
So yeah, bring it on.
You'd be milking it.
But it's nuts to think. So that was Pop Idol, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I can remember seeing, because the marketing of that was genius, because no one. I mean, it's difficult to. It's difficult to pinpoint that era in time. Was that the first one? Yeah. And the marketing was really low key. They did those little stings on ITV, and there were billboards, and all it said was "Pick me, Nigel." And it was just genius. And it wasn't on for that. The series didn't last for that long. They didn't tear the arse out of it.
No, and
there was no live shows.
No, exactly.
And voting.
No, they weren't. Yeah. The band had already been put together, and it's all good to go. And they've been in. I believe they've been in. They've been abroad in hiding, haven't they? Whilst the show was being aired, and then they were unveiled. Were they unveiled at an airport? I think they were, weren't they? Some Luton airport or something tragic like that. It was absolutely massive.
It was the first show that sold the dream, wasn't it? That you don't have to put up with this. You can give up your job in B Jams and become a pop star.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You know, it sold a dream to a generation of kids.
Well, who took over? Who took over from your brother? It was Foxy, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was Foxy and Louis Walsh.
But did Louis Walsh? Oh, of course he did, because he got Girls Aloud the year after.
Louis Walsh was sort of...
Hey, Girls Aloud.
Oh, I like Girls Aloud.
Hey, I'm not having that.
Push your mouth.
Girls Aloud, one of the greatest... I'll tell you what, for that, I'm playing Call the Shots tomorrow night.
Better than the Saturdays.
They're awful live, the Saturdays, I have to say, Ray.
Right, OK, top marks for anyone that can remember the boy band who lost out to Girls Aloud.
Something. Was it... One true voice.
Done, bloody hell.
I remember the song. Was it my Trust in Me or something it was called?
No, it's the snake from Jungle Book.
That's what I like then.
My God.
Do you know how, talking of hearsay, how weird is that? That Kim Marsh was in that, she was married to Jamie, who's now an auntie.
Yes.
Whoa!
Yes, mine. She was.
6 degrees of separation. Yeah,
Mind blown. I tell you what, we're going to take a break. Ray, you guys stay on the line because you're not going anywhere because we've got 20 minutes. You're in for the long haul now.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, it's me. Hello, everybody. In for Ian. It's 03444991000. We'll give you a call straight back. We've got Fiona and Ray on the line, and in a bizarre turn of events, it turns out that Ray's brother was Paul Adams, one of the original judges in Pop Idol. How the hell? I don't know how we got onto this. Ray, you there?
Yeah, it's just because you mentioned you were a band.
So that was it. Oh, yes, yeah. I would not have been up his strata by any stretch.
You say that, though, because prior to him doing that, he signed... I can list off a load of bands that he signed.
Yeah.
So he signed Shed 7.
Oh, I know, Rick.
The Charlatans.
Oh, blimey. Well, Charlatans went on to Beggar's Banquet.
Yes, yeah. So the Farms. He was into the indie sort of.
Oh, okay.
Very much so into sort of all those bands. And then he signed later on. In fact, he was a guest on the show recently. He signed Ian Brown.
Wow.
A few years ago when they split up. So.
Oh, nice.
And also Peter Hook.
Ah, we had Hookie on the other day.
Yeah, yeah. So,
oh, amazing.
So that was what he liked. And
what's he doing now?
Is opportunity.
Is he still in the business?
Sort of. Would you believe it? Because in the music business, you'll probably know they sign contracts and everything.
Yeah.
So 3-year contracts, etc., etc. And he got headhunted by Branson years and years ago and offered a silly amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
But he thought, no, I'll be loyal and stayed with Universal. And he was with them 20-odd years. But then Universal turned round.
Never be
loyal.
Because
he'd been there 20 years. They turned around and said, we're not renewing your contract. And he went, oh, okay. So he's now working, he's sort of working for the enemy, he's working for Spotify.
Oh, okay, well, I don't blame him. So he's one of my best mates, but it's Spotify. Well, good for him. Yeah, never be loyal. There's no, you know, it's a very tricky, it's very, employers expect your loyalty. It's not cutthroat, it's just one way.
Yeah, you can't expect it back, can you?
It's a one-way loyalty. But no, I enjoyed him on Pop Idol. He was always not cynical, but realistic and pragmatic.
Yeah, and it was funny because he obviously told me lots and lots of stories.
Yes, which you're about to tell us.
But I can't...
Kushkay, he's not listening.
I can't even tell you half.
He's on Spotify. He doesn't even know what radio is anymore.
You could change the names.
Yeah, change the names. Change the names to Sesame Street characters.
I've got so much gossip on.
All right, tell us that story you told us in the break, but change Simon Cowell's name to Elmo.
I was about to say Simon Owl.
Simon Owl.
But I can't tell any of those because they've never been sort of in the press.
You must have a nice gentle Louis Walsh story we can tell on air. No, let's not go there.
Oh, God.
I read Holy Moly. I worked some of those out.
And he always used to say that Louis Walsh would come in and just tell it.
I've got my finger over the dump button right now. No, Louis is one of the most indiscreet people in the world.
He absolutely is.
Considering everything about Louis Walsh, he is the man that you would expect to be holding every single secret close to his chest, but he treats everybody the complete opposite how everybody treats him.
Well, he was sworn to secrecy on a certain story and then saw Paul literally 5 minutes later. He said, you'll never guess what I've just been told.
And just blabbed it straight away. Yeah.
We all know a Louis, don't we?
Yeah, we all know a Louis. In fact, I know Louis. So that's...
God, didn't Simon Cowell try and get rid of him once, and they had to come back the following year?
Yeah. Well, you see, is a good guy, and he works on X Factor. He works very well. He plays the kind of bumbling kind of idiot.
Yeah,
well,
but he can't be.
You know, he's no worth way. A fortune. You know.
But wasn't Pete Waterman also on Pop Idol at some stage?
Yeah.
Pete Waterman might have actually been on the...
He was on the Rivals one, definitely.
He was on the Rivals.
Oh!
So it was Pete Waterman. And Foxy, he came later, wasn't he Pop Idol?
I'm going to have to Google this now.
Yeah, I think he was Pop Idol. Oh my God, I'm showing my age and how much I remember it all. I remember... I'm sure Louis was on Pop Stars Arrivals. And
hold on
definitely...
a second, Pop Idol, hold on.
Right, Nicky went back.
So,
yes, she did.
So Pop Idol was the one with Nicky, Simon Cowell, Neil Fox and Pete Waterman.
Yeah.
So Pop Idol was the one that... that Simon Cowell's first one, he took over from Nasty Nigel. Pop Stars was
Pop Stars was my brother Nigel Lithgow and Nicky Chapman.
Yes.
And Pop Stars the Rivals was Nicky Chapman, Louis Walsh.
Yeah, and then after that it went Pop Idol with Cowell.
Yes.
Correct.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Pete Waterman was on Pop Stars the Rivals.
Oh, God, yeah. Now I'm confused. Yes.
I thought he was on Pop Idol.
Stop confusing things, Fiona, for goodness sake. I'm losing track of everything that's...
it's only about 15 years ago, so it's not even that long ago.
Oh, God.
But I tell you, happens in 15 years, not happens in 15 minutes, let's face it.
But it was a good time for reality, though, wasn't it? Because it really was the kind of... the first one. You had the guy singing the Chicken Factory one, who sang Barbie Girl. Yeah, Gareth Gates with the stutter. I mean, when you know, Gareth has kind of gone down as being a bit, I guess, a little bit cheesy now and a little bit kind of like you only ever hear about him when he's in panto. Didn't he launch a coffee brand called Feel My Balls or something?
He did.
Right, no, hang on a sec. It's not, I'm, don't you. Nobody laugh. Nobody laugh. I'm going to prove you. Shut your mouths. Wait. Gareth, don't you laugh at me. I'm going to prove you wrong. Gareth Gates coffee. Hold on a second. It's very close to Fill My Balls. Gareth Gates is the man behind the new coffee brand Cuppernut. So I knew it was something like that. It wasn't Gareth Gates Fill My Balls. Gareth Gates Cuppernut. He's created a coffee brand called Cuppernut.
It's made out of coconuts, isn't it? Something.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you
very
much.
Excuse.
Oh, you are joking. I've got to Google that. You're not making that up, are
but
you?
No. Gareth Gates was supposed to be like squeaky clean. And then,
well, then
Jordan,
Katie Price,
and now Cuppernut
broke it. She did break it. She broke it after the final. It might have been on the night of him winning it. Jordan got a talent into him. Broke his willy.
That's why the coffee brand called Copper. Oh, see again, six. What is it? Degrees of separation.
Yeah.
She had,
yeah, and she was in the jungle. And now, how the hell? It's taken 3 hours, but we've ended up with Katie Price breaking Gareth Gates' penis.
How do you fix that?
A splint? I don't think it's... Look, without getting too... it was the... you know when you're playing a banjo?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, we're good.
Flipping heck.
And did you see what advert they had? Do you see what advert they had on earlier this evening and said it would make a great Christmas present?
What?
VI poo.
Oh, now.
No, now we're talking.
I was given some of that.
Were you?
Yes. Because I was laughing about it, you know, about the brown donuts and everything on air. And this guy who listens has a gift shop and he says, oh, I've got some. Do you want to use them?
Yeah.
Obviously, when I go, it's all glitter and rainbows. I don't need such things. But there are people in my household who really could do with it. It's the weirdest thing. And I'm still not convinced it's massively
what
necessary.
What does it do? Does it just...
It puts like
a film of kind of oil or something
over
exactly
it. What it does. So once the thing goes in,
the thing.
No smell comes out.
Oh, okay.
I've got stocking
fillers for my kids then.
I use that. Poopery. When I go away, I don't...
Poopery?
Like to you spray between 3 to 5 sprays before you go.
That's
and
4.
And exactly as Kat says, it's like rainbows and flowers all the time.
Yeah.
Even if a man goes...
Wow, what's the point? I mean, everyone knows, don't they? What happens in the toilet?
It's all right. Yeah, but it's all right in your own home, but when you're out in, or you're in...
Oh, I can't relax enough to crack out a rainbow outside.
You might if you put poopery with you.
Just in case.
Hang on a sec, no, you got it all wrong.
So poopery in one hand, the paper under your arm.
What do you mean you can't do a poo? You only do a poo on office time. Do it on someone else's clock. Goodness me, you've got it all wrong, guys.
I used to know someone who'd have to go home. He'd leave work and go home and come back.
I get that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
was it Ian?
Go to school.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do it on your own time. Do it on someone else's.
Oh, no, but someone could come in. Oh, no.
Lock the door! Where do you, where do you work?
One of those rows of cubicles like school toilets.
Yeah, where do you work?
Can't relax in there.
Oh, can't do a poogle.
Just come out and say, oh no, I don't know who went in before me, but I'm sorry about that.
Oh, I can't come out if there's something like that. I always end up taking responsibility for it.
Nah, just be proud. I'd give that an hour!
Oh, I'll
tell you a very quick story.
We went from basically picturing Katie Price having sex with Gareth Gates talking about turds in literally 40 seconds.
One is less disturbing.
Do you think this is odd? So I used to go to work, and there's about 7 cubicles, and my selected one was always the one at the end by the window. And I always like to go in with a paper, 15, 20 minutes. A couple of minutes after I was all set and ready to go, I heard someone else come in, and they had 6 cubicles to pick from. They chose the one right next to me.
Yeah. Don't you ever get tempted to make really just fake noises?
I had to wait for them to do their stuff and finish.
That reminds me of my daughter when I was first training her to go on the toilet.
Yeah.
And you've got to teach them to sort of push, haven't you?
Yeah.
She couldn't do it without making noises for quite a long time. And I remember us going to America.
She's 20 now.
I remember us going to America and she was sitting on the loo, but, you know, when you have to sort of hold them on because they're so tiny. And I remember saying, now, we're in a public loo now, so you've got to be quiet. She said to me, really loudly, it's okay, Mummy, I'll drop it quietly.
Oh.
And then there was this snigger from the next cubicle. There was a woman, obviously, in there. For listening to the whole thing. I'll drop it quietly.
Yeah, just make their lives uncomfortable. Don't make you uncomfortable yourself. Just proper kind of like...
Oh, dear.
And then just come out really... moonwalk out of that cubicle.
Never.
Own it, sister.
No chance.
Oh,
no,
goodness
sorry.
Me. You know what? I'll tell you what, Ray, you need to go. You need to say, phone up your brother tomorrow and go, do you know what? A conversation from you about you yesterday, within 10 minutes, we'd covered Katie Price breaking Gareth Gates' banjo. To spraying oil into toilets, to Catherine's daughter dropping it quietly, to moonwalking out of a cubicle, having had a crap.
And that is the joy of talk radio.
And that is the joy of talk radio. Fiona and Ray, thank you very, very much. Get Paul to call in. I'd love a chat with Paul. Go on. He's gone. Come here. Bye! It's gone.
Oh, sorry, hello. Sorry, yeah. I thought you had someone else on the line.
No, I was saying get Paul to call in. I'd love to have a chat with him.
Do you know what? I don't think he would. He's quite shy. I don't know if he would.
Okay, fine. Ray, thank you very much. Thank you, Kath.
You're welcome.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Talk Radio, Jamie's. Thank you very much.